Finnick Abbott.
Thank you, Daniel. The peace president has started a war in the Middle East. His old commerce secretary says it was predictable because he thought that Trump would lash out because he lost the tariffs ruling at the Supreme Court. Either way, it is illegal for a president to attempt regime change through violence without asking the US branches of government first, but he went ahead and did it anyway. Keir Starmer says we are right out of it. The UK played no part in the American and Israeli strikes, he said. The Tories and Reform say we should be joining in. The Greens and the Lib Dems say we should not. So what do you think? In or out? For or against? War or jaw? That and more with me, Nick Abbott, after the New Year's at 10 on LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 10 o'clock. In the last half hour, President Trump has said the supreme leader of Iran is dead following today's military strikes against his regime. He's been writing online despite claims from Tehran Ayatollah Ali Khamenei is safe and alive. Earlier today, Donald Trump was making it clear Washington was seeking a regime change in Tehran.
To the members of the Islamic Revolutionary Guard, the armed forces, and all of the police, I say tonight that you must lay down your weapons and have complete immunity, or, in the alternative, face certain death.
The Secretary General of the United Nations has opened a meeting of the Security Council in New York this evening. Antonio Guterres has already condemned the operation, along with the Iranian response, and he's warned international peace and security is facing a grave threat.
Military action carries the risk of igniting a chain of events that no one can control in the most volatile region of the world. Let me be clear, there is no viable alternative to the peaceful settlement of international disputes.
President Trump's also given an interview this evening saying he has several potential off-ramps to end what he's been calling Operation Epic Fury. The former Conservative Defence Minister, Tobias Elwood, has been speaking to LBC. He thinks Donald Trump deserves some credit.
Given this due, what Donald Trump has done is step forward in a way that other presidents haven't. And you go back in the history from the 79 itself, the fact that the Shah was lost, the friend of America. So this has been a running saga for every incoming American president, what to do about Iran.
And there'll be continuing coverage of the Middle East situation here on LBC. Elsewhere, police in Devon say inquiries are ongoing following the death of a 49-year-old man after a skydive. It was taking place at the Dunkerswell Aerodrome near Honiton this lunchtime. Kyiv is claiming the Kremlin has said it will accept Washington's proposals to guarantee Ukraine's security once the war with Russia ends. Volodymyr Zelensky's chief of staff has been speaking on Ukrainian television, and the Cabinet Office Minister Josh Simmons has resigned. He's been facing accusations of using a lobbying firm to investigate journalists before he became an MP, but he's been cleared of breaching the ministerial code. LBC weather, cloudy skies for much of the country overnight as a band of rain pushes eastwards, becoming increasingly windy as well, with a low of around 3 degrees. From Global's newsroom, for LBC, I'm Tim Daly.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Abbott.
Good evening. The world awoke to the outbreak of major conflict in the Middle East today after the US and Israel launched joint strikes against Iran, which prompted a widespread response from Iran. The US and Israel launched joint strikes against military and political leaders in Iran, dubbing them a preemptive strike to prevent Iran from gaining a nuclear weapon. Iran hit back, sending missiles to Israel as well as targeting US bases and other assets in the United Arab Emirates, Bahrain, Qatar, Dubai, Jordan, Kuwait. Missiles have also struck US-Israeli targets in Lebanon. And there are reports that the head of Iran's Revolutionary Guards has been killed, and conflicting reports about the condition of the supreme leader, Ali Khamenei. And at that point, let's join Simon Marks, LBC's Washington correspondent, who is on the line from there now. Hello, Simon.
Evening, Nick.
So what's the latest from Donald Trump, then?
Well, just within the last few minutes, Donald Trump has put a posting out on his social media account saying that the Supreme Leader of Iran, the Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, described by Donald Trump as one of the most evil people in history, is dead. The president says this is not only justice for the people of Iran, but for all great Americans and those people from many countries throughout the world that have been killed or mutilated by Khamenei and his gang of bloodthirsty thugs. The president says that the Supreme Leader was unable to avoid our intelligence and highly sophisticated tracking systems, and working closely with Israel, there was not a thing he or the other leaders that have been killed along with him could do. President Trump is describing this now as the single greatest chance for the Iranian people to take back their country. He claims that many of the Iran's Revolutionary Guard, its military, and other security and police forces no longer want to fight and are looking for immunity from us. He repeats what he said last night. Now they can have immunity. Later they only get death. And then, with, I think, breathtaking naivety, the president says, hopefully, the Revolutionary Guard and the police will peacefully merge with Iranian patriots and work together as a unit to bring the country to the greatness it deserves. That process should soon be starting, in that not only the death of Khamenei, but the country has been, in only one day, very much destroyed and even obliterated. And the president concludes, the heavy and pinpoint bombing will continue uninterrupted throughout the week, or as long as necessary to achieve our objective of, and then we move into all capital letters, peace throughout the Middle East and indeed the world. And then we drop back from the use of all capital letters to say to Americans, thank you for your attention to this matter.
What on earth does that mean?
Well, I mean, I think what we can read various things into that. I mean, first of all, this is confirmation by the American president that the Supreme Leader, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, is dead, ending his rule over Iran. But it doesn't necessarily end the rule of Iran's clerical regime. And what started out as an operation that the president at 2:30 in the morning, East Coast time, proclaimed as an effort to bring the government down in Iran, still has not brought the government down in Iran. President Trump, I think, is completely naively suggesting that it is possible that the Iranian people now might find a way of working in concert with members of the Revolutionary Guard who only in January murdered at least 20,000, some reports say more than 30,000 Iranians as they were demonstrating on the streets of the country. A Revolutionary Guard that is brutal, loyal, completely loyal to the Islamic revolutionary government that has been governing Iran since the Ayatollah Khomeini returned from exile in Paris in the late 80s. 79. I think that this notion that he's now created a situation on the ground that can vaguely bring about some sort of unification of the security forces that have served the Supreme Leader and his government and the Iranian people so that they can move forward and form some sort of new governing dispensation in Iran is ludicrous. As is his suggestion that he can guarantee the Revolutionary Guard immunity. I mean, in his televised statement overnight here, he told the Revolutionary Guard that they should lay down their arms and surrender, and they would be granted total immunity. Well, who were they supposed to surrender to? I mean, it's not as though there's any American boots on the ground or any boots on the ground from any country to accept their surrender. And he couldn't possibly know that he could deliver on an offer of immunity to them, because do we honestly think that the families of those 30,000 odd people that were cut down by the Revolutionary Guard in January, and remember, some of those protesters may have taken to the streets emboldened by President Trump's promise at the time that help is on the way, and then of course he never made good on that pledge at the time. Do we really think that those Iranians are going to be willing to find any kind of common cause, including forgiveness, immunity towards the Revolutionary Guard, the army, the security and police forces in Iran? It seems highly unlikely, but he sounds increasingly here tonight like a man who wants this wrapped up as quickly as possible. He's given an interview to the website Axios, saying that he's entertaining the idea of looking at off-ramps. He says, I can go long and take over the whole thing, or presumably by which he means take over the country, or end it in 2 or 3 days and tell the Iranians, see you again in a few years if you start rebuilding their nuclear and missile programs. He said that in a phone interview with Axios earlier today. In any case, it will take them several years to recover from this attack, he said. Now, at no point in that interview did he say anything about removing the Iranian government and letting the people form a new government of their own. So I think if you look at that interview particularly, it sounds increasingly like he might have the Venezuela model in mind, where you get rid of the leadership of the country, in the case of Venezuela, Nicolas Maduro, in the case of Iran, the supreme leader, and all of these other top officials that the Israelis have detailed, have claimed, have been killed today. The Iranians deny it. You keep the remnants of the regime in place, and then you basically force them to hand over the keys to their oil industry, and you attempt to find some kind of common cause with them, although that is going to be impossible in the Iranian situation. It's nothing compared to the Venezuelan situation. It's also perfectly possible that he's felt considerable heat from the country's allies in the region. I mean, when you look at the video tonight of what's happened at Terminal 3 at Dubai International Airport, never mind the rest of the airport, which has come to a complete standstill, but Terminal 3 was struck by an Iranian missile. And we know that Iranian missiles have rained down on every other country in the region that is allied with the United States. That had been telling Trump for weeks that if he engaged in this kind of military action, the risk of igniting a wider regional war was too great and that he shouldn't do it. So I'd love to tell you exactly where we are tonight, but given that this entire policy appears to have been extemporized and made up on the hoof from the minute that he ordered the airstrikes, it's very difficult to know what his plan is, except that he hasn't got one and he's making it up as he goes along.
Well, it sounds very much to me as though they came up with an absolutely fantastic name for an operation, yes, which was Operation Epic Fury, and then decided to do something under that title.
Well, I mean, I think that's perfectly conceivable. I mean, look, this is a man who, as you and I have been talking about on your shows for weeks now, is in need of a distraction. He went into that State of the Union address last Tuesday, facing record lows in the opinion polls. I mean, the Washington Post survey showed that 63% of the country disapproved of what he was doing. A CNN survey showed that 60% of the country disapproved of his year plus in back in power. And that 73% of floating voters, people who sometimes vote Republican, sometimes vote Democratic, always end up deciding the outcome of elections here, 73% disapproved of what he was doing. Plus, we've obviously seen the partial climb down in Minneapolis. It hasn't been the full-scale withdrawal of his thuggish Border Patrol and ICE agents from the streets of that city. But the public, of course, recoiling from that operation following the pointless and needless gunning down of two American citizens by ICE and the Border Patrol last month. So he needed a distraction because he's concerned that, you know, his fellow Republicans are putting pressure on him over their re-election prospects this November. But what kind of a distraction this proves to be for him, I think, is also a very open question. If you look at the statement that has been put out tonight by now former Georgia Republican Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene, a woman who is positioning herself as the authentic leader of the Make America Great Again movement rather than Donald Trump, she has said tonight on X, speaking of this military action, I did not campaign for this. I did not donate money for this. I did not vote for this in elections or Congress. She says of the strike on the school that Iran claims killed 60 students today, this is heartbreaking and tragic. And how many more innocents will die? What about our own military? She says this is not what we thought MAGA was supposed to be. And he was already struggling to explain to the America First Brigade what national security interest the United States had in Venezuela. This is going to be an even harder sell, given Donald Trump is the man who won a return to the White House in 2024 based on a promise to end forever wars and based on a promise not to drag the country into military action in far-off places about which his core supporters and millions of Americans know very little. And he's done precisely that tonight. And it now sounds like, facing the possibility of really getting dragged into a potential quagmire that could go on and on and on, well, he himself has said he's looking for a possible off-ramp.
Yes, it's a strange day indeed when you find yourself agreeing with Marjorie Taylor Greene. And well, the obliteration of the Iran's nuclear program is the re-obliteration of it, because just about a week or so ago he claimed total victory. Their program is obliterated. Well, that was the word that he was using. It completely does not exist anymore, and now he's re-blowing it up.
Well, on Marjorie Taylor Greene, even a broken clock is right twice a day. And there are increasing moments where you look at her social media feed and go, oh, well, you know, she's onto something there, because she's constantly hammering away at him because she believes that her own personal political future is benefited from that. You are absolutely correct. It was last July when Donald Trump used those bunker-busting bombs. He claimed to obliterate Iran's nuclear facilities. Indeed, if you go to the White House website even now, you can find the press release that Caroline Leavitt, his press secretary, put out, pushing back at suggestions that Iran's nuclear facilities had not, in fact, been obliterated, and that the Iranians, ahead of that attack, had made off with some of their enriched uranium and placed it in safe locations all over the country. That was described as fake news. Anyone that doesn't believe Iran's nuclear facilities have been obliterated are engaged in fake news, the White House said then. Fast forward to about 2 weeks ago, 10 days ago, Steve Witkoff, his special envoy, who's been engaged in those negotiations with the Iranians in Geneva for many, many days, suddenly says Iran is a week away from getting the capacity to build a weapon that could attack the United States.
Yeah.
Now, part of what Mr. Witkoff, I think, was trying to express was not just, as President Trump is saying, over the last 24 hours, that Iran has been rebuilding its military nuclear facilities, but that Iran has also developed these long-range ballistic missiles, which the president argued today can already reach European cities and are very close to being able to reach American cities. And there's no question that the Americans were irked by the fact that the Iranians were saying that the talks in Geneva must only be about nuclear and not about non-nuclear ballistic missiles. But the notion that there was any imminent national security threat to the United States this time yesterday, when the president was authorizing that attack, is a completely specious claim, certainly as far as we know.
Right. Well, echoes of Iraq.
Well, echoes, but at least with Iraq, as someone was pointing out today on social media, at least with Iraq, they developed a dossier. I mean, they actually had, you know, evidence, even if it was overstated and turned out to be wrong. They actually
made an effort.
They made the effort of going through. This hasn't even been making the effort. This is shooting from the hip.
Well,
and then throwing all the cards in the air.
Yeah.
Without any plan, not even any plan for the day after.
No.
But frankly, not even a plan for the day of.
Well, I think the plan was to generate some positive headlines. Wilbur Ross, who was the Commerce Secretary for Donald Trump in his first term, said the court defeat over tariffs, the Supreme Court striking down his insane tariffs regimen, said that it had made an attack on Iran more likely. Wilbur Ross, he could see it coming. But I just want to ask you about this, because this is very odd. When a president of the United States goes to war, what they don't say is it's quite likely that Americans are going to die. But Trump said the lives of courageous American heroes may be lost. Well, that's a pretty bizarre thing to say right off the bat, isn't it?
Well, it's also extraordinary that one of the reasons why he says that there was an imminent threat to America's national security is because all of those service personnel that he steamed into the region, and that was his decision, voluntary decision to send the USS Gerald Ford, hundreds of fighter jets into the region, the USS Lincoln. Well, he suddenly started saying that they were at risk of being attacked by the Iranians, and that was an imminent national security threat to the United States. I mean, on top, of course, of the Al Udeid Air Base and the other military facilities that the United States maintains in the region. So he's essentially conceding that he put those service personnel at risk of being on the receiving end of an Iranian attack that might not have been coming if he hadn't moved those service personnel into the region.
Yeah.
And that is how he justifies the claim that there was an imminent threat to America's national security. What he has no plan for, of course, is to put boots on the ground in Iran. And I've not heard a foreign policy analyst of note today who has been able to explain how you can possibly condition the outcome of what takes place on the ground now in Iran without some kind of external military force being there. Because this idea that he's promoting on his Truth Social post tonight, that suddenly, because he's got rid of the supreme leader and various other officials with the Iranian government, now suddenly the people can come out of their houses, they can all embrace the Revolutionary Guard and members of the military, and then they can all sit down and figure out how to govern the country together, presumably including the Kurds in some fashion, and all the supporters of the Shah's son, Reza Pahlavi, who's never mentioned by any US officials as being a possible future leader of Iran, even though I know many of our listeners, because they've been calling in throughout the day, think that he's the heir apparent. The idea that you can just leave it to them to get on with it, and that there isn't the real risk of a bloodbath of internecine warfare as people start meting out reprisals for the brutality of the way in which those demonstrations earlier this year and previous demonstrations have been put down by the Revolutionary Guard, and also the idea that the regime itself is simply going to agree to fade away. I mean, that just seems fanciful.
He imagines himself as Tinkerbell with peace dust. Simon, we're going to have to leave it there, but we will talk soon, I hope. Simon Marks, LBC's Washington correspondent. Our Prime Minister said we haven't had any part in this. Do you think that we should have done? 0345-6060-973 LBC.
Weekdays from 7 a.m.
This is Taxation Without Representation.
Straight to the point.
You get giddy with all these U-turns.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
Lucky he gets up in the morning, really, isn't it?
Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app. Download it now from your app store. LBC.
I'm Natasha, and this is my NHS story. I went to the GP because I'd found a lump in my breast, and the GP referred me to a CDC centre. It was just really welcoming from the moment I arrived. to just be reassured all in one day was fantastic.
The government is opening new community diagnostic centres, with many already available 12 hours a day, 7 days a week, so the NHS can be there for all of us when we need it. Find your closest one at gov.uk/NHS Fit for the Future. Available England-wide.
Tuesday night on the sofa, watching telly with Mum. Again.
Male hawkers stay with their mothers for life.
This is the moment Stephen chose to speak to Barclays about Mortgage Boost, so he could borrow more with help from family or friends. We're helping first-time buyers get on the property ladder sooner. Search Barclays Mortgages. Barclays. Backing your future.
Your home may be repossessed if you do not keep up repayments on your mortgage. Subject to application, financial circumstances and borrowing history. T's and C's apply.
Donations to British Heart Foundation fund scientific research that can help save lives. People like Joe, who's pitching his next big business plan. Maria, who's sending out her wedding invitations. And Jack, who's just being a teenager again. Because when you donate, you fund more than just science. You help save lives. British Heart Foundation funds research that aims to cure inherited heart muscle diseases, but our work is not done. Donate now at bhf.org.uk and keep us beating.
This is LBC with Nick Abbott. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
So one of the papers, forgive me, I can't remember which one it was, they put the actions of today in context and gave us a reason why it might have happened. They said it's not entirely clear what transformed Trump from a peace president to a war president, but there are clues. At home, he faces setbacks, ever lower popularity in the run-up to the midterm elections, and a recent rebuke from a normally friendly Supreme Court on his power to use tariffs as his favourite foreign policy tools. Wilbur Ross, I mentioned him before, the Commerce Secretary in Trump's first term, said the court defeat had made an attack on Iran more likely. It's the guy who knows Trump. Can predict what he's going to do, because he's nothing if not predictable. Well, he's unpredictably unpredictable. But some things you just know. He says, I don't think he can take this loss and then be seen as backing down on Iran, Wilbur Ross told the Wall Street Journal. Meanwhile, the cloud of suspicion over Trump's relationship with Jeffrey Epstein has not been dispelled, despite the best efforts of the Justice Department to ration the flow of revelations about the sex offending financier's child trafficking operations. Chuck Schumer is the Democratic senator. He said, I'm really worried because he gets so unhinged when he's in trouble like this. I'm worried what he might do in Iran. Who knows, said Chuck Schumer. Well, we know now. 0345-6060-973. What do you make of what has happened today? Aberdeen. Hello, Daniel.
Hello, Nick.
Daniel.
We've not got long. It's just before the news.
Yeah.
Just wanted to talk about Starmer and Trump.
Okay.
I think that Starmer should really steer clear of getting involved with this Iranian thing. Because whenever we go sort of hand-in-hand with America and the wars, it tends to blow up in our face.
Well, it's never quick, it's never precise, and it doesn't resolve itself speedily.
It's a scattergun approach.
Well, it's just lobbing a bomb into an area and hoping that that solves all of the problems.
Yes, but this has been tried with Saddam Hussein and Syria. The list goes on.
The problem with taking out a terrible leader is that the next leader to take his place might be even worse.
Yes, I mean, if you look at Russia, it's someone worse than Putin waiting in the wings.
Yeah, I would imagine that there is, yes.
Indeed.
And when a strong leader like that goes, I mean, although it might be just delicious for the people in that country who've been yearning for such a thing, then whoever comes next might actually make the prospect of living in that country significantly worse than it was before, because chaos will break out. People will start fighting over who takes the crown, and I really don't know anything about the Iranian line of succession, but if the Ayatollah is dead, then I would imagine that there is somebody who thinks just like him, ready to take his place. But he is dead, so we're told. Iran's supreme leader, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, is dead. Multiple Israeli officials have claimed his body was found under rubble in his compound in Iran after US and Israeli strikes. Now, the Iranians say, no, he isn't. I suppose we'll find out in due course. In a televised address on Saturday evening, the Israeli Prime Minister said that airstrikes in Iran had destroyed the supreme leader's compound and added that all indications show this tyrant is no longer with us. Well, it is, the timing of it is a bit odd, because Donald Trump said, lay down your weapons now, or and you will be protected by America, or you will face death. And and at the same moment, the missiles were flying towards them. So it's like put your hands up and drop your weapons, and you get shot before you can take your hands out of your pockets. Strange days indeed. Matthew says, trust that womble with his fake peace prize to kick off on a Saturday purely to spite us by ruining the normal abnormal show by forcing it to be serious. Not that an extra dose of Simon Marks is ever a bad thing, he says. Well, that is right. 0345-6060-973. You can text 84850. Email nicka@lbc.co.uk. If you're on WhatsApp, it's the same number as the phone. 0345-6060-973. It's 10:30 on LBC, the news headlines with Tim Daly.
As you've been hearing with Nick this evening, President Trump has said the supreme leader of Iran is dead following today's military strikes against his regime. He's been writing online despite claims from Tehran Ayatollah Ali Khamenei is safe and alive. Downing Street says the Prime Minister has been speaking with Donald Trump this evening. In New York, the Secretary General of the United Nations has warned international peace and security is facing a grave threat. And a man has died in Devon following a skydive. Police say he was 49, and it was taking place at the Dunkerswell Aerodrome this lunchtime. LBC weather, cloudy skies for much of the UK overnight as a band of rain moves eastwards, becoming increasingly windy as well before more rain arrives from the west. We'll see a low of around 3 degrees.
LBC.
Donations to British Heart Foundation fund scientific research that can help save lives. People like Joe, who's pitching his next big business plan. Maria, who's sending out her wedding invitations. And Jack, who's just being a teenager again. Because when you donate, you fund more than just science. You help save lives. British Heart Foundation funds research that aims to cure inherited heart muscle diseases. But our work is not done. Donate now at bhf.org.uk and keep us beating.
The Hillary sale ends soon, so get window wise and grab these amazing offers while you still can. Like up to 50% off hundreds of made-to-measure blinds, curtains and shutters. Plus, grab £50 off your electric blind order and conveniently control your blinds for less. And don't forget, with Hillary's, measuring and fitting is always included. So get window wise and book your free in-home appointment today at hillarys.co.uk. Hurry, the Hillary sale ends on the 9th of March. Conditions apply.
Tax is changing from April 2026.
If you're a sole trader or a landlord
with a turnover above £50,000,
you'll need to use recognised software to keep records
and send quarterly updates of your income and expenses.
There's no avoiding it. Tax is changing. Get ready. Search HMRC Making Tax Digital.
Nick Abbott on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
Recently become apparent is that Iranians have celebrated the supreme leader's reported death on the streets of Karaj. Videos have surfaced of some Iranians in Karaj celebrating the reported death of the supreme leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei before it was apparently confirmed by Donald Trump. Trump just posted on Truth Social to announce Khamenei's death following earlier reports in Israeli and US media. The Iranians, as far as I'm aware, still say, oh no, he's not. Goring by sea. Hello, Ash.
Hi, Nick. How are you?
Good, thanks.
It's a scary world we live in, isn't it?
Well, it doesn't get any more comfortable. No.
Absolutely not. Because my concern is that Trump reminds me of, it could be either of my twins. He's very reactive out of nowhere. His emotions are just up and down completely. And it seems that he resorts to actions on a large scale. scale like this when his popularity is low. I mean, it's been low since he took office for the second time. I mean, Thatcher did the similar thing with the Falklands, didn't she?
Well, it usually works for a leader in trouble. Start a little light war and the nation will, almost as an instinctual reaction, form a line behind the leader.
Well, that's how it... Well, it should be, shouldn't it? But his approval rating still has not really shot up, has it?
Even well, I can't imagine that it will go up as far as this is concerned, because he was elected on a promise of stopping wars, that America would get out of all of this constant warring.
Yeah, well, he was going to end the war in Ukraine within 24 hours.
Well, that's true, yeah.
But I think Simon Marks pretty much summed up what I was going to talk about anyway. But concerningly as well, when they say that it appears he has no plan, it can remind you of so many conflicts, but in particular Libya. I know that was a NATO invasion, so to speak, but you look at what's happened in Libya after that. Everyone's up and left. You've got one or two civil wars since Gaddafi was taken out. Economic instability. It's, yeah, concerning. And they say we need to be scared of Russia. Absolutely, it's concerning, but somebody with the temperament of Trump, I find far more worrying than someone like Putin.
Yes, at least Vladimir Putin seems to be a thinker, whereas Donald Trump, like your twins, they're babies, I assume, he is more of a reactor.
Exactly. I was saying to somebody at work the other night that when he does one of these speeches, I didn't notice it so much when he took power in 2017, I think it was, but he seems to start with a point and then prattle on, and he seems to lose the point, or he seems to repeat it. His sentence,
it's become so pronounced that he's come up with a name for it as though it's intentional. He calls it the weave, which is just an hour of rambling.
I thought that's what he did with his hair.
That's got you on a list, Ash. I wouldn't go to America anytime soon, but thanks for that. 0345-6060-973. Steve says Trump will be gone as a consequence of this within weeks. I can't imagine it's going to be popular with the American people, because they voted him as the America First president, and he seems to be doing nothing for them. Or he's been forever concentrating on on troubles outside of America's borders. You know, he's threatening Mexico, Venezuela, Norway, Greenland. I mean, you name it. Canada. It's everything outside of the border of America he seems to be concentrating on. And so far, you know, at least his cult fans have gone along with it. But I can't imagine that they're going to be very happy with this. Particularly as he's already set them up to expect American troop deaths. Which seems a very bizarre thing for him to have done. Dave, on the other hand, says, hooray for Trump. He's creating more refugees than Putin's efforts in Syria, and Putin was doing it on purpose. Well, Nigel Farage should keep that in mind, because he is one of the leaders who insists that we should get more involved. And that seems quite a reasonable assumption that whatever happens over there will create more people who will want to come to Europe and eventually here, perhaps. Farage earlier called for the UK to allow the US to use its bases in further strikes. The Prime Minister needs to change his mind on the use of our military bases and back Americans in this fight against Iran, said Farage in a post on X. The Tory leader, Kemi Badenoch, expressed her full support for the attack on Iran. She said the Tehran government is a vile regime that carries out attacks on the UK and on our citizens, sought to build nuclear weapons and brutally repressed pro-democracy protests only months ago and murdered thousands of its own people. So she's all in. Now, Zach Polanski, as you might expect, is not. The leader of the Greens dubbed the attack illegal and unprovoked, and both of those are true. He wrote, "This is an illegal, unprovoked and brutal attack that shows once again that the USA and Israel are rogue states. The UK must end our cozy relationship with the US and our ongoing support for Israel." So, so far, the main party leaders, it's 2-4 and 1 against. And which way are the Liberal Democrats going to go? Well, as you might expect, they're not that keen either. Ed Davey urged the Prime Minister to rule out allowing British bases to be used for future unilateral US strikes. He said, "The Iranian people deserve to live free from a brutal regime. Donald Trump's unilateral and illegal military action won't deliver freedom, peace and security. It'll only unleash more bloodshed." Well, that seems logical to me. How about you? 0345 6060 973. Let's see. Ealing. Hello, Grace.
Hi. I really hope that the Iranian people can have some peace at some point, but I worry that Trump's intentions are not actually in any way to support them, and he only cares about himself. And again, it is ridiculously ironic that he bangs on about being the president of peace. I feel like it's part of his kind of persona as some kind of messianic pro-Christian figure when he's completely the opposite of that. If he were supportive of peace, he wouldn't have, at a funeral, gotten up and immediately after talking about forgiving people, said, "No, I hate my opponents and I don't want the best of them." You know, it was quoted that Jesus on the cross said that we should forgive our enemies, and he immediately said that he doesn't believe in that at all. So to then pretend to be the president of peace is obviously completely ridiculous. And I worry about the ideology that's driving some of this, because I think that some of his supporters genuinely believe in this complete misinterpretation of the Bible, whereby there has to be domination of that region in order for Jesus to come back, which is not true. But I think that some of them believing that have kind of pushed him into thinking that if he has, you know, some kind of control over the area, then he's somehow doing God's work and is thereby righteous. And it's completely absurd. But ultimately, it's the Iranian people who have been really hurt by this horrendous leader, and I worry that it's not going to become more stable for them, although I desperately hope it does, but I'm so concerned that things could just get worse and worse.
It seems highly unlikely that stability will ensue from an aerial bombing. How could that be? I don't think you can win a war by just raining bombs down on people.
I mean, Trump's post just earlier this hour is completely nutty. I mean, And pinpoint bombing, however, will continue uninterrupted throughout the week or as long as necessary to achieve our objective of, capital letters, peace throughout the Middle East and indeed the world.
Yes, that's completely insane. I mean, I don't know. Somebody should take that phone out of his hand, because he's he seems to be undergoing a breakdown. It doesn't make any sense to me, but peace through bombing, okay? It's a new one. You just never know. It could work, but the thing with Trump is that nothing that he's ever done has come with consequences, with negative consequences for him personally. I mean, he even knocked down a wing of the White House and got away with it, having just said that he wasn't going to do it. The White House, he knocked a wing down. And nobody said a word. Oh, that's just Donald Trump. The stuff that he's getting away with his entire life. So I would imagine that this is just another roll of the dice. Let's see what this does. Let's see if people stop talking about Jeffrey Epstein if I do this. 0345 6060 973. Tony in Belfast says, "It's all theatre. It'll be over by the time the Antiques Roadshow finishes on Sunday night." Well, it might be over for Donald Trump, but it won't be over for the people of Iran or the people in the surrounding area. I mean, this idea that, okay, if we take the leader out, then all of the good people of Iran can come out of their homes and take over their country. Well, they just tried that, hearing the message that Donald Trump had their back, and they were machine-gunned in the street. I think it's highly unlikely they're going to try that again. Without some sort of backup. You know, the backup that Donald Trump said he was going to give them and then didn't. Surprise! And now they're dead. I don't think that you can win a war from the air. Or even a regime change for anything that looks more positive than what they got at the moment. I mean, look what happened in Afghanistan. The history of American intervention in the Middle East is littered with failure, and they're doing it again. 0345 6060 973. Ealing. Hello, Sophie.
Oh, hello. Hi. So I just feel that we shouldn't be getting involved in anywhere in the world, because our record of our involvement in the world is just to leave carnage. You know, what's interesting is that last night the Omani mediator said that the Iranians had agreed to some of the demands, certainly on the nuclear, you know, not sort of making nuclear bombs. And yeah. That's kind of been, and then suddenly we had an attack. So it was never about the nuclear bombs. It was never about the freedom of the Iranian people or women's rights, because, you know, if you're concerned about women's rights, why did they bomb a girls' school? You know, with 60 deaths, 60 girls were killed.
Well, let's assume that was an intentional. I mean, you know, when people talk about precision bombing, it's a complete nonsense, because you might deliver the bomb with precision, but when it goes off, there's nothing precise about it. And also, you know, nothing is perfect, particularly in the military, and they might just lob it in that direction. If they hit a girls' school, well, you know.
Yeah, but this is it. This is always the way. You know, if a brown person or an Arab or a Muslim or an Indian if the reverse were to happen, it would be awful. You know, a girl's school, American school was bombed by, you know, a suicide bomber. Mm. You know, it would be all over the news.
Yeah, or if Iran had killed an American top general, then we would not be talking about anything else for weeks. But America kills an Iranian top general, and now the weather.
Can we think about what's happening to America and decide that we're that somewhere, some Arab country or somewhere in the China decides it's going to do a preemptive strike on the America, on America.
To affect regime change.
And kill Trump, you know, so that the people can get their democracy back.
Yes.
I mean, it's just completely wrong. We need to learn the lessons of history. The reason Iran is one of the oldest civilizations in the world. And the other thing I don't like is the Iranian people as one homogenous group. The Iranians are like 90 million people, and they're different groups. So there isn't just one voice. And we shouldn't be interfering. We shouldn't be making judgments. We shouldn't be speaking for a group and talking about democracy. People can work it out. We can work it out ourselves. In the rest of the world, we can work it out ourselves. We don't need the white man to come in and help us to do it. You know, and we certainly don't need it through war and weaponry. The destabilization of places like Pakistan, Afghanistan, Iran, Iraq, you know, Palestine, all of these places have been a result of imperial colonial intervention and, you know, the fracturing of those societies, and they've left a mess. You know, they talk about democracy and, you know, freedoms, but actually they're the ones that cause the problems. They were getting on pretty well without all the trouble that was caused by you know, colonialism.
Right, well, I mean, we're talking about history now. I don't think Iran was, you could consider it getting on well with, you know, whatever, as far as daily life is concerned. It was pretty abysmal in Iran. Iranians have been fleeing for quite a long time from that dreadful regime. So, you know, for the benefit of most Iranians, I think a change in the leadership of that country would be beneficial. I'm just not sure that this is historically speaking, it doesn't usually happen that way, that things immediately get better, or even in the long term that they get better. There's quite often that things get considerably worse because of our intervention. All right, good talking to you, Sophie. Thanks for that. 0345 6060 973.
Sunday with Lewis Goodall.
How the Prime Minister was describing or said his government would be in office.
We said we would end the chaos, and we will.
He promised to end the chaos. He promised a politics which would tread more lightly on our lives. Why has he not been able to do so?
He has promised to change the country, and that is exactly what we are doing.
Hear every side of the story.
Is that the end of the chaos now? One and done, or will there be more chaos?
Well, as you know, every week in politics brings its own challenges.
Well, maybe he shouldn't have promised to end the chaos then, because he promised it and you promised it.
Sunday with Lewis Goodall. Sunday morning from 10. Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app.
At TfL, we're helping make roads safer. We're continuing to roll out lower speed limits because 20 miles per hour roads have already seen 24% fewer collisions causing death or serious injury. We're also improving junctions to help keep you safe and improving visibility for our bus drivers with new wing mirror cameras. Search TfL Improvement Plan. To the Mayor of London and TfL, every journey matters. Comparison of collisions data before and after implementation of 20 miles per hour speed limit.
Donations to British Heart Foundation fund scientific research that can help save lives. People like Joe, who's pitching his next big business plan. Maria, who's sending out her wedding invitations. And Jack, who's just being a teenager again. Because when you donate, you fund more than just science. You help save lives. British Heart Foundation funds research that aims to cure inherited heart muscle diseases. But our work is not done. Donate now at bhf.org.uk and keep us beating.
Buying a home on a holiday park was the retreat you always wanted. But then came unexpected site fee increases. And that was before the dramatic loss in value. If you bought a home on a holiday park in the UK, you may have been missold. HolidayParkAdviceCentre.co.uk could help you receive thousands in compensation. Text ASSIST to 78900. That's ASSIST to 78900.
Sunlight's guaranteed over 50 plan gave confidence to Jane and Chris. With their insurance sorted, they're becoming naturists. Cutting loose in their birthday suits, feeling elegant and free. But when they answered the door, the postman saw more than he expected to see. Sunlight, a little confidence goes a long way. No medical questions and a cash payout. Search Sunlight cover today.
Premiums paid could exceed the payout. Full cover after 1 year. Ages 49 to 85.
Nick Abbott on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
There are conflicting reports about what's happened at Dubai International Airport. This news suggests that despite news of Iran's supreme leader being killed, missile strikes appear to be continuing on other Middle Eastern countries. Four people have been injured after an incident at Dubai International Airport, the city's media office said. They said Dubai Airports confirms that a concourse at Dubai International sustained minor damage in an incident which was quickly contained. Emergency response teams were immediately deployed and are managing the situation in coordination with the relevant authorities. Four staff sustained injuries and received prompt medical attention. Due to contingency plans already in place, most of the terminals were previously cleared of passengers. In a follow-up statement, the media office said that a minor fire occurred on the outer facade of the Burj Al Arab after a drone was intercepted and debris caused some damage. No injuries reported from that incident. It did not state whether the incident was an Iranian strike. So what do you make of what's going on? And do you think that we should actually get involved, as Nigel Farage and Kemi Badenoch suggest that we should? 0345 6060 973. Stratford-upon-Avon. Hello, Jane.
Hi, Nick.
Jane.
It's unusual for me to talk to you on a Saturday. I listen to you on Fridays and Saturdays, and I love it. But today, when I heard the news this morning, I kept thinking, well, what's he planning? This is the Wally in the United States. Mm. Has he got a plan here? I have to say that whilst I've been waiting to talk to you, a lot of the things that I was thinking have already been said. I could, in my own mind, drew the parallel between Netanyahu and Trump and Thatcher and the Falklands. I could see that straight away.
Yeah.
The person that called in and said referred to him having an ideology. I don't think he has an ideology. I don't understand what is happening, but I all day thought, no, we definitely don't want to get drawn into this. And believe, now I'm absolutely 100% convinced that if Farage and Badenoch think we should, we definitely should not.
right.
Well, they never say anything that's correct, do they? But also with Trump, I think a psychologist or a psychiatrist that's watched him over the years would be able to analyse and say what his deficiencies are. I mean, even I know what some of them are from my own background. But now, I mean, I've always thought he was a complete idiot, if I could say other words. Now I just absolutely know he is entirely stupid. And when he's done things like knock down part of the White House and wants to change the name of the Kennedy Center to Trump Kennedy, I think in my head, well, when he's gone, they can rebuild the White House the way it was, and they can change the name back again. But they can't bomb Iran.
Yeah.
So what is can anybody stop him?
Well, he said that the only person... He was asked this question. Is there any limit to what you can do? And he said, my own morality. So,
but he doesn't have any,
well,
he?
Well, yeah, that is an interesting point, yeah.
But no, seriously, Nick, you pay far more attention to global politics than I do. I do listen to LBC a lot, but I don't listen to most of the programmes all the way through because I'm not a fan of the presenters. But I do really, really, really admire Simon Marks.
Yeah.
So, well, next time you talk to him, if you talk to him later on tonight, ask him, can anything be done to stop Trump? And well, actually, well, this is one other question. Is Simon Marks safe in America?
Well, I keep asking him that, and I keep telling him not to sleep in the same place twice and to take the SIM card out of his phone. And
I know, I hear you tell him that, but it sort of sounds like a joke. But I'm sort of seriously thinking, yeah, he probably isn't safe.
It's quite possible, yes. He should always use cash, never credit cards. Never take the same route to work twice.
Will you ask him tonight, then? Because I'll have to go to bed soon. I'm absolutely exhausted. I'm recording your programme. Can you ask him, if you talk to him later, if he believes that there's any way, is there anybody in the world that can stop this lunatic from behaving in this way? I can't think of any of the answers. What do you think?
Well, the American people have twice now made him the most powerful human being in the world. And the Supreme Court of the United States of America have pre-excused him any crime. He can commit any crime as the president, and he has already got off. It's the world's best get-out-of-jail-free card.
So, that's always been the case. I did a master's degree in politics and social policy, and a teeny-weeny-weeny, it's a long time ago, a teeny-weeny bit, it was about American politics compared to our own. And one of the great things was the checks and balances in place in the United States.
Well, there aren't any.
Does that not exist anymore, then?
It really doesn't. I mean, what he's done today is completely illegal. He needs to have gone through Congress. Both houses of the American government need to have agreed to what he's done today, and he didn't ask anybody, and he went ahead and did it. I literally think they came up with a super name for their policy, which was epic. What was it called? It's so childish. I've almost sort of wiped it from my mind. They call it the Epic Fury, the Operation Epic Fury. And I bet they were so delighted. I bet they were so delighted with it that they thought, well, we've got to append this to some bombing of somewhere.
No, he's had this in mind. When he sent his naval ships into the Middle East, he always had that in reserve if he needed it. So it is an excuse to do whatever the heck he wanted to do. But I can't... I'm defeated by him. By it. Well, I'm going to have to... I dropped a jar of olives in the kitchen this morning. A first world problem, I know. And while I'm swimming around trying to pick the wretched thing up on the floor and shouting at my husband, come and clean this floor with me.
Right. And then it's his fault, yes.
No, it wasn't his fault. But I was at the far end and there was oil all over the floor and I couldn't get to the door to get out of the blinking room. Look, my olive's got nothing to do with this story.
Not really, but you were going... while all that happened, you were thinking that... I can't tell you where you were going with that.
Well, all I was thinking, what's going on in the world, and I'm standing here, sitting about drinking olives on the floor.
Yeah.
But, look, seriously, I don't know. Yeah, and you don't appear to know the answer either, which defeats me, because I think you're pretty good at knowing the answers to things.
Only if they're knowable, Jane. I appreciate that. Sorry to hear about your olives. Other olives will be available as soon as the shops open. That martini is just going to have to be naked, I'm afraid. 0345-6060-973. Andy says, it's ironic that Donald Trump used to brag about how no wars were started by him during his first term in office. Now he's trying to make up for it in his second term. I think it's all a distraction as well. I mean, Trump's woes at home are building up. So I think that this is just one of those, let's roll the dice and see what happens. I mean, it can't get any worse for me personally, Donald Trump. I mean, my popularity is in the toilet. So let's try this. I mean, it sounds flippant to say that, but I do believe that that is the sort of thought process that would flit across his brow. Of course, he didn't get a Nobel Peace Prize, and he's very, very upset about that. But he seems to have stopped warning Norway. He warned the Norwegian Prime Minister last month that he no longer felt an obligation to think purely of peace. Because in his mind, Norway didn't give him the Nobel Peace Prize, but it's actually got nothing to do with Norway. But that's irrelevant. And Wilbur Ross, Commerce Secretary in Trump's first term, said that because the Supreme Court struck down his tariffs, Wilbur Ross said, "I don't think he can take this loss and then be seen as backing down on Iran." So it's a tough guy thing. He has to make it look like to his MAGA fans that he's still in charge. Still a manly man in more makeup and hairspray than Dolly Parton, but dancing to YMCA. But at least he's killing people, so there's that. 0345-6060-973. Where are you on this? Do you think we should get involved like Kemi Badenoch and Nigel Farage? Or do you think we should stay well out of it, like Zach Polanski and Ed Davey from the Liberal Democrats? Keir Starmer doesn't seem to be that keen to stick his oar in. What do you think? 0345 6060 973. Friday, Saturday, Sunday night at 10. Nick Abbott, LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 11 o'clock. President Trump says the supreme leader of Iran has been killed by today's joint strikes carried out by Israel and the United States. He's made the claim, although Tehran is continuing to say that Ayatollah Ali Khamenei remains in command. LBC's Washington correspondent Simon Marks has been talking to Nick Abbott.
The president says this is not only justice for the people of Iran, but for all great Americans and those people from many countries throughout the world that have been killed or mutilated by Khamenei and his gang of bloodthirsty thugs.
The shadow foreign secretary, Dame Priti Patel, has welcomed to Donald Trump's statement. Downing Street says that Keir Starmer and the US president have spoken over the phone this evening. In New York, the secretary general of the United Nations has condemned today's strikes by both sides, but Antonio Guterres has been accused of hypocrisy by Israel's ambassador, Danny Dannon.
We all know when the real escalation began. It began when the Iranian regime armed proxies across the region, when it expended missiles and drones, when it advanced its nuclear program in violation of all its commitments, and when it brutally slaughtered its own people.
In the last hour, the exiled crown prince of Iran, Reza Pahlavi, has said the Islamic Republic is about to be consigned to the dustbin of history. Nicholas Hopton is a former British ambassador to Iran. He's been telling LBC the West may be in danger of repeating its post-9/11 mistakes in the Middle East.
You only need to look at the record of the last 20 years since the invasion of Iraq to see how, when a decision is taken without the necessary evidence base for the wrong reasons, and that, of course, is a debatable point, but President Trump would do well to look at history and see how that decision taken by George W. Bush when he was president has actually affected how his presidency has been seen and will be seen by history.
In other news this evening, Labour has suspended one of its peers just a month after taking a seat in the Lords. It's acted after reports Lord Joe Doherty resigned from a sixth form college group over allegations of inappropriate behaviour. In a statement to a newspaper, he says allegations have been robustly disputed. LBC weather, cloudy skies for much of the UK overnight as a band of rain moves eastwards, becoming increasingly windy as well before yet more rain arrives from the west. We'll see a low of around 3 degrees. From Global's newsroom, for LBC, I'm Tim Daly.
This is- is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Abbott.
So Keir Starmer has said that he is against further escalation in the Middle East. He said the UK did not participate in the US-Israeli strikes on Iran. He did say that British planes are in the sky today to protect our people, our interests and our allies. He said Iran has launched indiscriminate strikes across the region and communities across our country will be deeply concerned about what this means for security and stability and for the fate of innocent people across the region, which for so many of us includes friends and family members. He said the United Kingdom played no role in these strikes, but we have long been clear that the regime in Iran is utterly abhorrent. And in a joint statement with the leaders of France and Germany, Starmer condemned Iran's retaliation in the strongest terms. The three leaders said Iran must refrain from indiscriminate military strikes. We urge the Iranian leadership to seek a negotiated solution. David Taylor is the Labour MP for Hemel Hempstead on the International Development Committee and joins us on the line now. Good evening, David Taylor.
Good evening, Nick.
So what do you make of what the Prime Minister said, that Iran must refrain from indiscriminate military strikes and the leadership should seek a negotiated solution? It's a bit difficult to negotiate under a bomb attack, isn't it?
Well, I mean, I'm personally delighted by today's events. I've been working a lot with Iranian activists over the last few months and for a much longer period with Syrian activists. And if you speak to them, there are videos emerging now of them celebrating with the news that the Ayatollah has been killed. Well, at least we hope he's been killed. We're still obviously waiting on the full confirmation. And those scenes are also being witnessed in Damascus, because this is a brutal regime that has not only persecuted its own people for decades, it has created chaos across the region, including in Syria, where 500,000 people were killed, including in the Israel-Palestine conflict with its support for Hamas and Hezbollah, and in its support for the Houthis in Yemen. So now I hope that this is a moment where we do see a change in the regime in Iran. I think it will benefit the entire region, but it will also benefit us, because as the Prime Minister set out today, there have been numerous, I think he said 20 potential lethal attacks on US soil have been quashed. They also have been undermining our democracy. I mean, you may not have noticed, but when there was this internet blackout at the start of the year, a whole swathe of pro-Scottish independence accounts on Twitter suddenly went silent. So, you know, they have been a pernicious stain on the world. And, you know, I know that there are difficult days ahead, but think of this moment with the news of the Ayatollah's death being shared. I think it is a moment to celebrate the death of a tyrant.
Yeah, but it seems vanishingly unlikely that it's all going to unfold like a Disney cartoon, that the tyrant will be vanquished and, you know, new and wonderful and sharing and lovely and rainbow-coloured regime will take over to the delight of all.
Well, no one's arguing that it is, and I'm certainly not arguing that too. Like I say, I think there may be difficult days ahead, but, you know, that we need to listen to what the Iranian people are telling us. And as we're seeing footage emerging of people celebrating. We've already seen thousands of incredibly brave protesters coming out on the streets, you know. And I've heard an interview you've done previously where you rightly point out that Trump said he would protect these protesters and didn't rush their aid. And, you know, that is definitely a criticism I have, that these strikes have not come sooner, because so many people have died. But I think it demonstrates that there is that the Iranian people are desperate for change. It's a highly educated country. It's a country that is largely a country that is largely unified in terms of its ethnic makeup. You know, so I don't think we're necessarily going to see some of the problems that we've seen in places like Libya when we've seen regimes fall. And I would also point to the example of Syria itself. You know, like, for years people said, no, we can't intervene because it will only make things worse. Well, 500,000 people died. You know, I really don't see why intervention there
how that could have made things worse. And yeah, I'm not saying that things are, there's rainbows everywhere, as you put it, in Syria right now, but there is hope of a better future. The new regime has come in, and you know, there are some green shoots emerging for both the economy, but also the fact that there, you know, there may be an inclusive government. I think it's you know, worth looking to that and sort of balancing out some of the skepticism with what we're seeing in Syria. Because, you know, as I say, given the extent to which this regime has caused such pain to people in its own country and around the world, I just don't really see how it could get much worse.
Right. Well, I mean, we can imagine, you know, based on what's happened in some countries in the past. But what seems unlikely is that you will bring down an entrenched regime with aerial bombing alone. So there are going to have to be some sort of military incursion. Do you think we should be part of that?
Well, I don't know if you're correct in saying that in terms of the airstrikes. They may well have the impact. I mean, in Libya, the ground troops were not needed. You know, the Gaddafi regime did fall. I think the Libya example is a pertinent one because I think we have to separate the initial intervention with what comes next. And in what happened in Libya, the initial intervention was a just one. Benghazi was being, you know, threatened by being raised by Gaddafi. And with no casualties from NATO, we were able to get rid of a brutal dictatorship. Now, the failure came in the fact that we didn't then back that up with proper support for the Libyan people. You know, we should have had a UN force go in to keep the peace and to help rebuild, as we did in Kosovo. And I would like to see something similar happen, perhaps in Iran. But we need to talk to Iranian activists and try and support them towards a sort of more inclusive future. But I'm getting way ahead of myself because, of course, we this is day one. We don't know how long this is going to take, as you do point out. So I'm not sort of, I do understand what you're saying, and I do also share some concerns. I'm just pointing out that there are plenty of people in Iran right now that are celebrating, and I do think that we should support them as the West as much as possible. Now, as for the question about Britain's involvement, I think it's a very fair one. You know, I have already been on record in the House of Commons calling for us to support targeted military strikes to protect protesters being massacred. You know, I'm but a humble backbencher, so that the government will have to set out how it wants to engage in this process. I just personally want to see a properly free Iran and us doing everything to ensure that we get rid of this vile regime.
Right. And do you think that that's actually what Donald Trump is after? Or is he after a quick win in order to bolster his popularity at home? Or is he after something like Venezuela, where you topple the main guy, threaten everybody underneath him, and then take the oil and call it a win?
Well, we don't know, do we? I mean, you know, it's a fair point. I don't know that. I'm not connected in any way.
But you've cited previous examples of what happened in other countries. We have a very up-to-date example of precisely what Donald Trump has done. He seems to be doing exactly the same thing. I mean, it's no coincidence that Iran is one of the largest unused oil reserves in the world.
Well, yeah, I can't speculate for that. I just, like I say, I'm purely interested in the interests of the Iranian people themselves. And, you know, there is a vibrant protest movement that after, you know, the bravery of these people with no weapons against bullets and torture,
yes.
And mass torture.
Well, because they thought that that Donald Trump had their back, and he lied about that. But, you know, joining in does put a target on us. Are you happy with that?
Well, we already have a target on us. Like I say, I mean, we already had 20 potential lethal attacks on UK soil in the last year alone. So, you know, like I'm not convinced by arguments that if we were to get involved, we'd be at any more risk than we already are. I mean, we're seeing that with the strikes that the Iranian regime have done today. You know, these are strikes across the region against countries that have not joined in and or even participated in today's attacks. You tell me why a hotel in Dubai is a legitimate target. It just isn't, is it?
Well, who knows whether they were actually going for the hotel or they were just lobbing bombs in that direction.
Well, I mean, I think their record on targeting civilians is pretty clear. I mean, look at the Shahid drones they've been providing to the Russians for the last couple of years. I mean, those have not been targeting military targets. And I know that because I've been hiding in bunkers in Kyiv as they've gone overhead, you know. So then I don't think that we need to give them the benefit of the doubt. They've got no interest in civilian life.
Well, we're supporting Israel, and you could level all of the accusations that you've just done on Russia to Israel, surely?
I think our government has been very strong, actually, in calling out the actions of the Israeli government in Gaza where necessary. And,
really?
You know, we've gone... Yes, I think so. We've stopped all arms sales that have gone to offensive weapons. We have recognised the Palestinian state. I don't think it's comparable in my view, the two countries.
Okay. But in short, you would be, if Keir Starmer changed his mind and decided to join in this military Operation Epic Fury, then you would be fine with that. In fact, you would encourage him to do that.
Well, what I would hope is that the RAF would bring its expertise to ensure that these strikes are as targeted as possible. I remember actually being at Oxfam when the offensive against ISIS and Daesh was going ahead in Iraq, and being impressed actually by the lengths of which the RAF went to ensure that when targets were identified, civilians were not put in harm's way. So, yeah, I think there is actually an argument to say that if we were involved, we could act as a moderating force and ensure that the strikes that do happen are as targeted and strategic as possible.
Good to talk to you, David. Thanks so much for that. David Taylor, MP for Hemel Hempstead, Labour MP for Hemel Hempstead, and serves on the International Development Committee. Now I'm going to take a short break, then back with your thoughts on everything that you've heard so far. 03456060973.
LBC.
Train to Cambridge and then all aboard the paddleboards. A little bit different, should be fun. Or wobbly, or wet.
The wetsuit's a good look on you, Steve.
Oh, actually, this is very relaxed.
George is up the river cam without a paddle.
Train home, that was such a laugh. I think I might even have a new hobby. Download the Thames Link Railway app to book tickets and save a third off group travel on off-peak journeys. Thames Link Railway, where every stop is a story.
JP Morgan Personal Investing gives you the clarity to make more informed decisions on your investments, which is great, because right now, something else just became crystal clear. Your kid just outgrew the kids menu. Now he's ordering a truffle gnocchi? You consider making a don't gnocchi it till you try it joke, but now's not the time. Now's the time to grow his world, one bite at a time. Search JP Morgan Personal Investing. Invest with clarity. Capital at risk.
Across the country, thousands of drivers are feeling electric about switching to an EV. And here's why. They can go from London to Sheffield on a single charge that could cost around a fiver. They're ecstatic about that and the exhilarating feeling behind the wheel. Plus, with charging made simple at home, they're always ready for the drive ahead. I can see why they're into it. Switch to an EV and get that electric feeling. Costs and range dependent on tariffs, model and driving habits. For full details, visit gov.uk/clean energy.
Nick Abbott on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
Alice says, never mind a distraction, Trump's in need of a straitjacket. P.S. Thanks for last night's show. Heard it on catch-up, as I always have to these days. It provided much-needed cheering up. Yes, you should be aware that the Friday and Saturday night shows, I mean, not necessarily this one, but ordinarily the Friday and Saturday shows get put up the internet as a podcast. And if you just can't take the misery anymore of the constant news cycle, then I believe it'll be right up your alley. It's on Global Player and the new LBC app, both of which are free from your app store. And the thing to ask for is Nick Abbott, the whole show podcast. Walthamstow. Hello, Gary.
Hi, Nick.
Gary. How are you?
Yes, good, thanks.
I'm just under vertigo with my tin hat on.
Oh, yes.
David, that you just had on, I mean, I know there's things that you probably were thinking and you couldn't say to him, but what hypocrisy and nonsense he was talking. There's double standards, and I think the thing is, for us as ordinary civilians, it becomes difficult to actually know what the truth is and what the truth isn't with what's actually going on. They're saying that, Iran shouldn't retaliate. Well, what is it expected to do if it's attacked? I mean, one punch is just in the face. Yes. Are you supposed to just stand?
Well,
stand
that,
there
that seems to be what people are demanding. Yes, you offend me, and then you punch me in the face and expect me not to put my arms up to defend myself. That is essentially what we are asking Iran to do.
Yeah, and equally, Farage and Kibadnok. Again, what nonsense. Do they really think that if Donald Trump had the power that, say, the Khomeini has or Putin, that he wouldn't be killing Americans in the street? Of course he would. He would be imprisoning journalists. He would be shutting down media outlets.
Well, he's doing all of
those.
He's doing
all of those. But that's just how Farage.
If he had the power to do it, he's done it already. Everything that you've just said.
And the thing is, look, if you indulge me for a little bit of history, you've got to remember the British were the ones that tried to divide Iran in 1906. If you go back that far, it was the Americans that imposed the Shah on Iran. It was the Americans and the British that didn't want democracy in Iran because they were extracting. British was extracting the.
I know what you're saying, Gary, and I understand and agree, but the line is so bad. You're coming in and out like you're talking to us from the International Space Station. So appreciate the call. Going to move on, though. Jeremy says, it seems every month Trump does something even worse than he did in the previous month. He's now attacked Iran. So the question is, what can we expect next month and the month after that? Well, it depends on how this affects his popularity, I would expect. If his popularity figures plummet because of this, another action that is not America first, I would imagine that his MAGA fans would be quite upset. And if his popularity takes another nosedive, then he'll probably think of something else. Up to and including stealing the next election. I'm sure that, I've said this many times, that I think the next election in America has already been decided. Trump wins. Al in Norfolk says, once all this kerfuffle has died down, is it worth speaking to the Iranians and seeing if they would take a look at the HS2 project? If they've unobliterated the previously obliterated stuff so quickly that it needed to be obliterated again, they should have HS2 done by Christmas. Just an idea, says Al. Keep thinking, Al. Ealing. Hello, Sarah. Sarah.
Hello, hi.
Oh, there you are. Just in time. Just under the wire. Hello, Sarah.
Hello, hi. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to give an opinion from an Iranian-British person because from our point of view, it's mixed feelings. Obviously, it's very difficult for us to accept a foreign country like Trump or Israel or whoever to be attacking our people, to be, invading Iran. But at the same time, the brutality that this regime has demonstrated over the past 45 years.
Someone at your front door, I suspect.
Sorry.
I'll tell you what, Sarah, you calm the dog down and I'll come back to you. 0345-6060-973. We'll come back to Sarah in just a moment. First, let's have Newcastle, Chandra.
Good evening, Nick. I hope it's not Donald Trump at Sarah's house.
I wouldn't think so, no.
You're a top man, but I'm a little bit disappointed that you didn't challenge David Taylor when he was speaking about Syria, because the current leader of Syria, regardless of how polished he looks now, he has proven links to Al-Qaeda and ISIS. And he was speaking about Syria as if Syria is, I don't know, some park and some pleasant leafy town somewhere.
Mm.
I think it's shocking how little politicians understand Middle East. Now, I have... When I heard the news this morning about U.S. and Israeli attacks on Iran, Fallujah came to my mind. There was a particular scene I repeatedly saw on British news media of a mother in her late 40s or 50s who lost four of her children in one of those airstrikes. And later this afternoon, I heard that schoolgirls were casualties. Now, all of these British politicians and American politicians and commentators coming on news and saying how wonderful this is. I wish they're in the shoes of the parents of those innocent girls.
Well, to be clear, no one said that it was great that a girl's school was blown up by apparently an Israeli strike. No one has said that that was great.
But the point is, had it been, had those 80 girls or how many of the girls, Iranians say it's nearly 200, but anyway, regardless of the number.
Had it been a school in Cheltenham, we wouldn't have talked about anything else for weeks.
Absolutely. So every war has casualties, and casualties, most of, majority of them, are innocent civilians. And I think, and what consequences will Donald Trump have? None. What consequences will Netanyahu have? Absolutely. Netanyahu is a war criminal, for heaven's sake. There is an arrest warrant out on his head.
Mm-hmm.
And he's pretending as if he is the harbinger of peace. For heaven's sake,
What would you expect then, from your knowledge of the area, now that the leader, Ali Khamenei, is supposedly dead? Who would replace him? I mean, it'd be somebody like him, presumably.
But absolutely, I'm not the most optimistic on most usual days, but on a day like today, I'm 200 times more pessimistic. I think Donald Trump and Netanyahu have probably started a 100-year war. I mean, what they have set off today is probably the worst thing anyone could have imagined, because There are no institutions to immediately follow the fall of the current regime. There is no Reza Pahlavi. Everyone mentions this gentleman's name, but there are no institutions to replace the current institutions. Now, in such a case, this will just be a tinderbox, and the links the current regime has with all the terrorist outfits in Middle East and beyond, I mean, they will not be sitting idly and thinking, let's just back off now.
I think that the possibility is that the people will see that the prize is the oil. I mean, that's the basis of the wealth of Iran. And it's so much money that no one will, or any of the people who have actually any degree of power in that country, are going to want to give that up. So I would imagine that the internal fighting will go on for a considerable number of years.
And it's uncontrollable. And because we have seen this movie so many times in the last, 50, 60 years, it's easy to start wars, and it's literally impossible. And the shocking, absolutely shocking statement by David Taylor was his complete ignorance of Iran. He said it was a homogenous, religiously homogenous country. It is not a religiously homogenous country.
I'm not sure he did say that. I didn't hear him say that, but okay.
Unless I've misheard him, if I did hear him right, Iran has got zillion religious, Islamic religious minorities in it. And the persecution which the state has perpetrated all these years has mostly been on those religious minorities. Now,
but is there not a large number of people in Iran who have no religious affiliation?
There is a majority of them are Shia, as I understand, but there is a Sunni proportion, there is Baha'i, there are Christians, I think there are even some Jews in Iran. So it's not a homogenous...
Right, any more than anywhere else is. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to be, a peaceful end to this.
But, what is homogenous in Iran and everywhere else on Earth is that people just want a nice life. They want to be able to buy things that they want and need. They want to be able to fall in love with whoever they want. They want to enjoy themselves. They want to have a family and friends and all of this stuff. And don't you think that under the present regime, they couldn't have any of that because of the extreme nature of their leadership? And now that supposedly at least a couple of members of the very top of that leadership are gone, there's more of a chance of them having some of those things at least than there was before.
Yes, there is a flicker of hope for optimism. However, Iran is so complicated. Iran is really, in my opinion, the mother of all complications. Iran is so complicated that if the American regime is not fully prepared to deal with the consequences of this conflict, then it shouldn't have really gotten in.
Right. And I think they got in because Donald Trump was irritated by the Supreme Court telling him no, and he's not used to hearing the word no. And somebody showed him his popularity polling, and he flipped his wig and lashed out. And this is what we're talking about now. Chandra, I'm going to have to leave it there, but thanks for that. 0345 6060 973. 11:30 on LBC, the news headlines with Tim Daly.
Israel's military says it's completed another wave of strikes on Iran this evening, targeting defense systems and ballistic missiles. Earlier, President Trump said the supreme leader of Iran has been killed by today's joint strikes carried out by Israel and the U.S. He's made the claim, although Tehran is continuing to say Ayatollah Ali Khamenei remains in command. Downing Street says Sir Keir Starmer and the U.S. President have been speaking over the phone this evening, and the exiled Crown Prince of Iran, Reza Pahlavi, has said the Islamic Republic is about to be consigned to the dustbin of history. LBC weather, cloudy skies for much of the UK overnight as a band of rain moves eastwards. It will become increasingly windy as well. Then there'll be more rain pushing in from the west. We'll see a low of around 3 degrees.
This is LBC.
At Amazon, over 50% of deliveries now come with less packaging or with no added packaging at all. It's a difference you'll notice on your doorstep, where you chat with friends, where your neighbour's daughter practices guitar, and where we deliver your new noise-cancelling headphones in the manufacturer's packaging. Ah, much better. Reduce packaging from Amazon. We're delivering change where it matters, on your doorstep. Based on 2025 Amazon packaging data across the UK and EU.
Tesco Insurance are driving down the cost of motoring with 10% off car insurance. Take out a car insurance policy before the 15th of May 2026 and you'll get 10% off with club card prices. We offer a range of cover options so you can choose the one that's right for you. Save 10% when you buy or renew a car policy with Tesco Insurance. Search Tesco Car Insurance and get a quote direct today. Club card required. Excludes add-ons. T's and C's apply.
It's not easy being a clamp, stuck on the wheel of the one person on the street who didn't tax their car. Yeah, Graham at number 7, I'm talking about you. Bet the neighbourhood group chat is as well. Wish I had a group chat. Maybe I can chat to myself. Hi, Clampy. How's it going? Not great, Clampy. Being clamped to the only untaxed car for miles is so lonely. Over 98% of drivers tax their vehicle on time. Tax it. Don't risk it. Visit gov.uk/DVLA/taxit.
Leading Britain's conversation. Nick Abbott. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
Some comments that have come in. Paul says, somebody please play the clip of Trump lambasting Obama as being terrible by not being able to negotiate with Iran and being an idiot whose only option as a distraction was to go to war with Iran. Jeremy says, we need a metaphoric barman to tell him he's had enough and it's time to go home. And David said, is there a concrete objective to any of this, or are we going to end up with Iraq and Libya all over again? If he manages to create a new home for Islamic State, do you think they'll give him another FIFA Peace Prize? I believe the dog is calm now, so back to Sarah in Ealing. Hello, Sarah.
Hello, hi. Apologies for that.
No problem.
So, yes, what I'm trying to say is that despite the fact that no Iranian would want foreign involvement in the country, I think there was no other option. We were basically stuck between a rock and a hard place. And I completely accept the comments from previous callers as well regarding Iran being a complex country. And not only does it have multiple religious groups, but it has multiple backgrounds. So we've got Turkish people in the north, we have Arabs in the south, we have Baluchis and Kurds and so on and so forth. So they're all from different backgrounds as well. So it's completely complex. But the fact that for 47 years we were ruled by an Islamic regime, despite the fact that a lot of Iranians, as you mentioned yourself, are not Muslims, or at least no longer as Muslims. A lot of us have converted either to Zoroastrianism, which is the religion for Persia, which has been around for thousands of years. And, you know, other religions, as they were saying, so we have Jews in Iran, we have Christians, and all of these religious beliefs had to be forgotten about, and we were all ruled by the Islamic regime and had to obey by the...
So what do you, think is going to happen now that this sort of strongman leader has been toppled, that all of the different disparate groups that you've just mentioned, do you think they can all pull together as a team, or is it more likely that they're all going to be fighting with each other and the killing is just going to increase exponentially?
So it's going to be very difficult to say that there's going to be no chaos. Obviously, if there is going to be some chaos, because there is already talk of separation, you know, the Kurds wanting to separate and forming Kurdistan and the Turks separating and so on. But we are used to this story as Iranians. As in, a lot of the surrounding countries were all part of, you know, the old Persian Empire, like Afghanistan separated not too long ago, Armenia, so on and so forth. But the Crown Prince, Reza Pahlavi, it's been the name that's been called by millions of Iranians in Iran and by hundreds and thousands of Iranians all around the globe.
Why are they so keen on him, though? Because Because he's completely untested in that role, isn't he?
Completely agree, he's untested, but he's the only leader that has stood up and is speaking on behalf of the Iranians and is saying all the right things. Whether he can actually produce what he's saying, we are all hopeful that he can. He has already put together a team of people, experts that he is hoping to take to Iran with him to set the government. What he's saying is that he doesn't want separation. So he has four main pillars. And his first pillar is that he wants to unite Iran so that there is, you know, all these separatist groups that are already discussing, you know, separation come together. And he's already got individuals, leaders from each of these groups in his team that he's planning to take to Iran. And he's always said that he wants democracy for Iran. He doesn't want to go and become the king of Iran and rule. He wants to go to Iran and he wants to be the interim government until the Iranian people have a referendum and decide their own fate. And that's why a lot of people want him to go into Iran and they support him. As I said, millions in Iran. And even today, all around the world, you know, on social media, if you look, even though people in Iran are being bombed, they are celebrating the fact that Trump finally finally actioned the promise that he had given them. Because Trump told them to go into the street and I will support you. And
I'll have your back, he said, and he didn't. Yeah.
Initially he didn't, but now he has gone. And even though people are being bombed, they're celebrating the fact that the Islamic regime is finally over.
Yes.
And that they can be free to practice any religion they want. And, you know...
Are you in touch with any of your friends and relatives in Iran?
Unfortunately, we've not been able to get in touch. Even during the January massacre, where they killed nearly 90,000 people, they cut off all communication, and they've done the same again now. But there is occasional, you know, videos on Instagram that come through, and, you know, friend of a friend manages to get through... that we hear the occasional thing, and it's all been positive so far.
Right. Okay, good talking to you, Sarah. Thanks for that. 0345-6060-973. Kathy says, Simon Marks needs a hero's medal. What a reporter. Thank goodness for him, and thanks for having him on. Well, it's always my pleasure. Paul in Shoreham says, Barack Obama signed a treaty that prevented Iran from acquiring a nuclear weapon. Trump tore it up. And now there is a war with Iran to prevent it from acquiring a nuclear weapon. Yes. Well, that's one thing that we haven't actually mentioned yet. The thing that Donald Trump is insisting on is the thing that he had already. But he decided to rip that up. Not good enough. And the reason I suspect that it wasn't good enough for him is that because it had Barack Obama's signature on it. That's the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, which was signed by the US and Russia and the EU, UK, Germany put its signature there, France. All of these countries agreed with Iran that in order to have the sanctions lifted, which was crushing the Iranian economy, then the Iranians would stop trying to, would cease their nuclear... I don't know what you would call their nuclear program, let's put it like that, would cease their nuclear program. And it seemed to be working perfectly fine until Donald Trump came along, saw Barack Obama's signature on it, and tore it up and declared that it was the worst deal that anybody had ever seen. Believe him. And here we are. He's now wanting the exact same deal that he tore up, but with his big boy squiggle on it. 0345-6060-973. Haringey, Aisha.
Hi, could you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, so I'd like to speak about the point about the UK involvement with the current war.
Okay.
That was mentioned before.
Yes.
Yes, so I think if we look back at World War II, we see that the USA didn't get involved in the beginning, only much later till D-Day. First they got involved with Japan, and then Hitler declared war with the USA, and then only then they got involved. We're not meant to look at the past thinking it should have been different. We're meant to learn from the mistakes. If the USA would have gotten involved earlier in 1940, 1939, then the history would have looked very different. It would have reshaped the way World War II went down, with the millions that were killed and the havoc that it caused in the European, in the whole of Europe, right? So I think the question shouldn't be if UK should get involved or not. It should be looked at differently. If the UK could add to the war, if they could help clean up whatever needs to be cleaned up quicker, to get rid of whatever needs to be getting rid of, then they should be brought to the table to help. And if not, then they shouldn't. But it shouldn't be just like a question, are we scared if we get involved, there will be risks. Sometimes we'll cost risks, but we do it for a reason. We do it to prevent the future of risks of being attacked by ourselves.
But is that actually making us safer in the future, though, by inserting ourselves into a fight that is essentially not ours?
100%. But as an ally, if we could help clear up something which is dangerous for the whole region, we would, and we could help. I think the war in the past, we have to take some steps that we get involved, even if it may cost a bit of a risk. Because that is war. War always comes with a risk. You look at the bigger picture, you look at the having Iran, you know, they won't have nuclear. they'll be clean, they'll be put away, the regime will be ended, there won't be a threat anymore. And then if 20 and 20, 30 years, you know, we won't need to now be worried about a country called Iran. We'll be safe. You know, it's a long time. It could have been a threat. We can't know that not. So if we could bring to the table to end the threat quicker, I think that should be the question.
Right.
So
but why? But my question is, why does it always have to be us? Why not Belgium, for instance?
So I think that the UK is, and I might be wrong, I don't know the politics so well, but I do think that UK is one of the closest allies to the USA, aren't they?
Well, we used to be before Donald Trump declared economic war on us.
I understand. So,
but America is not in danger. America is the aggressor.
I understand.
Wow. I think you better get to a fallout shelter, Aisha.
No,
what is that?
It's on me. It's on the news. No.
It's on the news. You've got the news up very loud.
Yeah, sorry about that.
I would, don't delay. Get to that bunker immediately. Thanks a lot, Aisha. Yeah, why does it always have to be us? I'm just curious about that. Why do we always think that we have to get involved in everybody else's mess? Why? What's it got to do with us? Keir Starmer, I mean, he didn't say that, of course, but he has urged against further escalation and blah, 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 all the things that you would expect him to say. He said that the United Kingdom has played no role in these strikes. And there was a but we have long been clear that the regime in Iran is utterly abhorrent. But we didn't do any of the bombing. It's got nothing to do with us. We're not upset that they're being bombed, I think is the reading between the lines. But we didn't actually have anything to do with it. Do you think we should continue not having anything to do with it? Because why has it always got to be us? Like, we're the world police. You know, we used to bestride the waves. We used to run the world. But that is in our rearview mirror. We're not that country anymore. But we like to think that we are. But are we sort of quite likely to talk ourselves into more trouble than it's worth? By essentially putting a giant target on us if we get involved in any way. I mean, allowing America to use our military bases for launching their attacks, for instance. And the party leaders are split, as you would expect. Farage is all for us getting involved. So is Badenoch. Polanski says no, and so does Ed Davey. And Keir Starmer seems to be falling on the no side at the moment. What do you think? 0345 6060 973.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
A family ripped apart by social media poison.
It separated her from the offline world, dragged her into this machine world, leading her towards her death.
And a heartbroken father's fight to tackle big tech's inaction.
We're going to work with President Trump to push back on governments around the world that are going after American companies and pushing to censor more.
No, we're pushing to regulate companies. Needs to make them safe.
Next week, Ian Russell, the crusading father of 14-year-old Molly, sits down with us to preview the powerful new documentary, Molly versus the Machines, and answer a chilling question. How many more Mollies will it take before online giants take our children's safety seriously?
Nick Ferrari at breakfast, back Monday morning from 7. Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app.
At Lloyds, we love that moment a dream becomes a reality. Like for Rob, he's in the supermarket when his phone bleeps. It's his daughter. She's in Manchester, at uni. The message is short. She's happy. And just like that, Rob knows every penny he invested and saved was worth it. He texts her back. Heart emoji. At Lloyds, we've been asking the nation about their dreams. That's how we know Rob's story and thousands of others just like it. We've been backing the nation's aspirations for 250 years. So when it's time to realise your dreams, be ready when you are. Bank on Lloyds.
Go where umbrellas are for cocktails. There's not long left to get up to £300 off city breaks in EasyJet's Big Orange Sale. Plus, get up to 20% off flights. EasyJet. Get out there. Selected dates and flights sail on 3rd of March. Holidays, mint spend and at all protected. T's and C's apply.
You want £1 million.
I'd love £1 million.
So you enter the birthday draw and you think of a way to spend £1 million.
I'd pay off my mortgage and my mum's mortgage.
It's your lucky day and you win the birthday draw. But you forget to pay off those mortgages.
Whoops.
Because you're on a cruise with lots of money.
Money cruise, baby!
Is it your lucky day? For your chance to win £1 million, just search The Birthday Draw and enter now from Global and ITV. 18 plus UK only, no purchase necessary.
It's not easy being a clamp stuck on the wheel of the one person on the street who didn't tax their car. Yeah, Graham at number 7, I'm talking about you. Bet the neighbourhood group chat is as well. Wish I had a group chat. Maybe I can chat to myself. Hi, Clampy. How's it going? Not great, Clampy. Being clamped to the only untaxed car for miles is so lonely. Over 98% of drivers tax their vehicle on time. Tax it. Don't risk it. Visit gov.uk/DVLA/taxit.
This is LBC with Nick Abbott.
Martin says the day that Trump renamed the Department of Defense into the Ministry of War should tell you enough. Let's just hope it stays in the Gulf. Well, it hasn't, as the people of Venezuela will tell you. This text says, Iran attacks Dubai. Bad news for millionaire reform supporter tax dodgers who have emigrated there. Well, I'm sure they'll be hot-footing it back to this country just as soon as their tax lawyers say that their affairs are in order. Nigel says, if anyone who thinks the current US administration will hang around after the dust has settled with a view to setting up a stable united government, I have a bridge I would like to sell them. And when the country descends into civil war, where will the refugees go? Not America, that's for sure. Well, it is interesting that that seems inevitable, that there will be a tidal wave of refugees coming out of that country if it does descend into civil war, and they will be heading in more or less this direction. They won't all come here, of course. Most of them will end up elsewhere. Most of them will end up in neighbouring countries. That's usually where refugees go. But there will be a trickle, certainly, that will get this far, which is contrary to what you would think that reform would want. And yet they are keen for us to get involved, thereby making more certain the outcome that they would profess to abhor. And what also seems curious is, no, we haven't talked about the Strait of Hormuz yet, and that's that kink in the river around which something like a quarter of the world's oil is transported. And if you go, I bet you, if you go to a petrol station right now, you'll find that if they are pricing the oil as they have just recently received it, then the price of petrol will have gone up. So our costs and gas as well, natural gas comes around the that kink in the waterway. And for a party that seems to be determined to keep us dependent on oil and gas, you know, forever going on about net stupid zero and how, you know, windmills give you cancer or whatever it is that they're saying about them lately, and, you know, solar panels are ugly, you know, as opposed to an oil-fired power station, for instance. All of the prices of gas and oil are going to go through the roof. Doesn't really matter whether it comes, the oil that we use comes around the Strait of Hormuz or whether we get it out of the North Sea. It's going to cost the same because it's all sold on the world market. So the thing that they want, that reform seem to want us to continue to be dependent on, is going to go through the roof. And one of the consequences is it will be a consequence of us getting involved. So at least on those two issues, they seem to be, I don't know, confused. But where are you? Are you confused about whether we should get involved or not? 0345 6060 973. Let's see now. Oldbury. Hello, Ranjit.
Hi, Nick. You okay?
Yes, good, thanks.
Yeah, I've been listening to this all day, and, you know, history is going to repeat itself. We shouldn't get involved at all. Right. Keir Starmer has said, you know, if you look at it, there's five political parties at the moment in this country. Two have stood on one side, and two on the other. He said, look, we haven't been involved. So that's leaving us at peace for a while. Regarding, you know, people who are dying, who are innocent, right? You know, there's been massacres everywhere. And the people are saying, each time a blood, if you cut me and my drops fall on the floor, will breed another freedom fighter. Each drop will, yeah? So if you kill these people, even the people at the top, somebody else will replace them. What Trump is doing, like what he did in Venezuela, is going round and throwing a grenade in there and scarpering and let them sort it out. How can you do that? You can't. Right, when the rest of the world are telling him, stop it, Donald, you shouldn't be getting involved. But the one thing that really no one has talked about today, if there is all-out war in the Middle East, it's going to be, you know, free range for everybody. Putin will bulldoze Ukraine, because our attention will be in the Middle East. Yeah, Gaza will be bulldozed. And then Afghanistan and Pakistan are at war at the moment. India and Pakistan might have a conflict. So there's more distractions now other than the Epstein files, if you know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
There's potentially lots of things can happen when this goes on. You know, like when, you know, when you're in a, say it is a pub brawl, yeah? Two people are fighting and somebody else sees somebody that they don't like and they suddenly smash them one as well. And before you know it, the whole world's gone up in flames. Mm. That's what I think personally, you know. I know Iran is Putin's ally, but in war, it's all fair in love and no, it's all fair in love and war.
Mm.
I don't know where we're going to go, but I am genuinely frightened now.
Well, Trump's Board of Peace has got its work cut out, and that $1 billion joining fee is going to seem like a bargain if he can fashion peace out of this mess.
Yeah, the thing is, you know, like in, I mean, I've been following Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan probably for about 35 years, yeah? I mean, you know, before the Iron Curtain come down, we was all frightened of Russia when the Afghans actually fought and beat the Russians and broken the USSR up. You know, that's where Bin Laden came from. And the Americans used the Afghans then and said, see you later, when their dirty work was done. They had the Shah. When the Shah was disposed, they went and made friends with Saddam Hussein. And then he suddenly become the enemy. And now the best friend for them is Netanyahu. And Netanyahu has got a checkered history as well as Donald Trump, and then two of them together are quite powerful. And you know, I'm not Jewish and I'm not Muslim, but there's lots of things that are going wrong in the Middle East, and it's still to do with oil, and it's going to be always oil.
It's almost like a curse to be saddled with all of that wealth and that all of the rest of the world wants, which is another reason for us to get off our addiction to oil.
Yeah, I mean, next week, right, I think tomorrow, Monday, I've got family that's gone on holiday to India, and they're going to have 4 days in Dubai, and they're back here on Friday, so I assume they land there Monday, and I'm going to speak to them tomorrow. I say, listen, just fly straight back to England.
They'll be lucky to land at that airport.
I mean, it's hard, because they've always kept out of it, and they, the United Emirates, yeah? But now, obviously, you know, if you're being kicked and you're on the floor and you're being kicked, you're going to fire and punch everybody, aren't you? And that's what Iran's doing at the moment, I think, now. That's why they're attacking everybody. And it can kick off, I think. Trump needs to be told by everybody in the world, listen, mate, you want to go and do it on your own, you carry on.
I think it's exactly what he's doing. And he's not even consulting his own Congress. The government of the United States of America is supposed to okay military action. He didn't even ask them. He just thought it up and did it. That's because nothing that he's done so far has come with any negative consequences for him. So he just keeps doing them. All right. Thanks a lot, Ranjit. 0345-6060-973. Nigel says... I've done that one. Ruby says, Nick, normally I tune in for lifestyle tips and the eye-watering wit, but I was so glad that this happened on a Nick night. The way most of the press and the pundits begin to attribute qualities to Trump at these times, like gravitas or capacity for abstract thought, bewildering. They'll give him that Peace Prize for the wars he started. This is a man who has no capacity for basic empathy. You have to wonder just how many people have their interests running through this guy. Yeah, it doesn't seem to me like, well, he's not concerned about the plight of the Iranian people. I mean, can we at least agree on that? Even his most vociferous fans would probably agree with that. It's another Venezuela. He wants to start a little light war, not too much, just to grab the headlines, give him something positive, something for the flag wavers to rally behind him. You know, protecting our boys and girls at the front line. I mean, that usually gets the country rallying behind you. And then his poll numbers will shoot up. He'll do a deal with whoever replaces the supreme leader. And there'll be no end of money pouring into probably a Qatari bank account with his name on it that comes from the oil, I'm guessing. That's just, you know, one scenario that's occurred to me. But he's not doing it for good reasons. That's not him. It's not who he is. However, sometimes the best things happen by accident. And it could be that this appalling leader of Iran, who has led the country in misery for far too long, if he has gone, then it is entirely possible that what comes after is good. It's just that Donald Trump will do a victory lap, but it will be almost as though it's just an accident on his part. That's not really ascribing too many positive qualities to him, but, you know, I think that's just being realistic, isn't it? 0345 6060 973. You can text 84850, email nick@lbc.co.uk. If you're on WhatsApp, then the number is the same as the phone. 0345 6060 973. Do you think that we should get involved, as Nigel Farage and Kemi Badenoch suggest, or should we be right out of it?
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at midnight. Israel says its military has completed another round of strikes against Iran this evening, focusing on its ballistic missiles and air defense systems. It's made the announcement following President Trump's assertion the Iranian supreme leader, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, is dead following attacks by Israel and the U.S. earlier in the day. Justin Forsyth advises the exiled crown prince of Iran. He's been telling LBC, ordinary citizens now have a unique opportunity.
They will be the boots on the ground. The Iranian people will bring down this regime in the end. And we also need large sections of the army to break away from the Revolutionary Guards and to support and defend the people.
Video emerging from Tehran has been showing people letting off fireworks following the news of the supreme leader's death, but Iranian officials have been denying Donald Trump's claims, saying he remains in command. The Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has been using a speech to address Iranians directly.
All the Persians, the Kurds, the Baluchim, the Iranians, the time has come to unify yourselves and to truly topple this regime and ensure your future.
A state of emergency remains in place in Tel Aviv. Warning sirens have been activated numerous times throughout the evening. Speaking during a meeting of the United Nations Security Council, the organization's Secretary General issued warnings about global peace and stability. Antonio Guterres also said decisive action was now needed.
I call on all member states to strictly uphold their obligations under international law, including the UN Charter, to respect and protect civilians in accordance with international humanitarian law, and to ensure nuclear safety. Let us act responsibly and together to pull the region and our world back from the brink.
In other news this evening, a man has died in Devon following a skydive. Police say he was 49 and it was taking place at the Dunkerswell Aerodrome on Saturday lunchtime. A road's been closed in Dunbarton after a marked police car was involved in a collision with a pedestrian. Police Scotland says they were taken to hospital after it happened at about 8 o'clock on Saturday evening. And in sport this evening and in football, Manchester City are now within 2 points of the Premier League leaders Arsenal. That's following a 1-0 win against Leeds United. Elsewhere, Liverpool beat West Ham 5-2. LBC weather, cloudy skies for much of the country overnight as a band of rain pushes eastwards, becoming increasingly windy as well before more rain then arrives from the west. We'll see a low of around 3 degrees. From Global's newsroom, for LBC, I'm Tim Daly.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Abbott.
So we're talking about what's going on in Iraq, and it comes to something when I find myself agreeing with Peter Hitchens, which I can't recall has ever happened. But this was his take in the Mail. We are in the hands of foolish children. They may look like adults, but President Trump and his court of flatterers think the planet is a toy and are playing with it. Look at the name he has given to his war, Operation Epic Fury. It sounds like an ultra-violent computer game or a bad film, not a serious action in which many may die or be driven from their homes, and which, if anything goes wrong, might also impoverish much of the world for years. I agree 100%. I mean, how utterly juvenile, Operation Epic Fury. It sounds like something that Pete Hegseth would have come up with after a couple of cocktails. They must have been absolutely delighted with that. It comes as Trump moves several steps closer to becoming a fully developed megalomaniac. Government buildings in Washington, D.C. now bear huge banners displaying the president's likeness. He recently attacked Supreme Court judges who ruled against him as fools and lapdogs, very unpatriotic and disloyal to the Constitution. He wants to have his face on the coinage. His recent State of the Union speech went on for almost 108 often boastful minutes, during which he tried to order congressmen to stand up. They didn't. But of course, the highly disciplined US military stands up without being asked when he enters a room. It salutes him as the lawful commander-in-chief, and it obeys him as judges and congressmen do not. So we have to wonder if this highly dangerous war, whose end is unknowable, is his way of making up for the fact that not everybody else does what he tells them to do. I think for everything that we know about Donald Trump, that seems entirely likely. Imagine the worst possible reason for him to do anything, and that's probably why he's doing it. 0345 6060 973. Woolwich. Hello, Richard.
Oh, hi. Hi, Nick.
Richard.
Hi. Nick, I have just a kind of, a simple reflection tonight about all of this. So on the news, they're saying that obviously Donald Trump is saying that the Iranian supreme leader is dead.
Yeah.
And the Iranian communication, whoever that is, are saying that that's not true.
Oh, no, he's not. Yeah.
And my reflection is, I don't know who to believe. And I think that in itself is very telling about the state of the world.
Yes. Who to believe? A man who lies constantly or some organisation that you don't know anything about? Tricky.
Yeah. But also some organisation that is quite clearly brutal, fascistic,
Which one are we talking about?
And who are we talking about? Exactly. There we go.
Yes.
And I find it very, very depressing. And my only other reflection is, I just think that Starmer should just kind of work with Europe. I think we need a European perspective on this.
Well, they have released a joint message with France, Germany and the UK have put out a joint statement. And I believe that they were in conversation when they had when they all have a serious conflab in a state of emergency. Cobra. When they had a Cobra meeting. I always think of it as the way that Gordon Brown used to pronounce it. Cobra.
Cobra.
Yeah, when things are very, very serious, they have a Cobra meeting, after which, I believe, the leaders of France and Germany and this country all release a joint statement condemning Iran's retaliation in the strongest terms, which seems odd. Why wouldn't a country retaliate if it's being attacked?
Yeah, exactly. And then, and of course, why if, people have said that the great, mighty Simon Marks made this point as well. Why is it that if Trump said initially that, you know, Iran had been suppressed and neutralized, why is it that he's now saying that there's so much of a threat that he has to kind of do it again? I mean, there's so much riddle around all of this. I don't believe a word Trump says.
No.
And I think my only reflection is that in itself I find depressing.
Yes, it is. Well, he said that then the Iran's nuclear program had been obliterated. That was the word that he used. It had been obliterated when he bombed them before. Now it needs to be re-obliterated. Which implies that there is another definition of the word obliterated that I'm not familiar with.
Exactly.
All right, good talking to you, Richard. Thanks for that. 0345-6060-973. Carl says the Supreme Court slapped down his tariffs. His tough guy persona was injured, so the bully went out to the playground and the only, full stop. That don't make sense, Carl. The most isolated victim he could find to feel and look tough again. Plus, it's a nice way to make everyone be quiet about his many redacted appearances in the files. Are you talking about Jeffrey Epstein? Some of that made sense, Carl. I think I get the gist of it. Graham in Liverpool says, does Donny's off-ramp in this war involve Iran giving him money by any chance? Yes, I would imagine that is something that he has considered. Yeah, it might be the only reason why he's doing any of this. He wants some of that delicious oil money. Mm-mm. Tavistock. Hello, Rose.
Oh, hello.
Rose.
2 points, but first of all, Epic Fury. It's William Brown and the Outlaws.
William Brown and the Outlaws.
William?
Oh, is it?
Yes,
well, Donald Trump has not read Just William.
Well, no, I didn't mean that. I mean, I mis-expressed it then. I mean, that's the first thing I thought. Oh, for heaven's sake, it's a school kid.
Right.
You know, I've got all the... I'm going to attack you, and it's Epic Fury. Mmm. Or Jennings, the schoolboy at school, you know, boarding school. But Farage. Well, the oil prices. He acts and he plans to govern on behalf of the oil companies, and he's funded by them, so surely the more money they're making and the higher prices, the better.
It does bring home to you how insane it is to continue to be addicted to oil, to not do everything we possibly can. It should be our number one priority to get us off oil and gas. There should be nothing more important to us as a nation than that, and we're still arguing about it.
Well, yes, because, I mean, people are still falling for somebody as vile and devious as Farage. I mean, what hope have we got? And the second thing is, the more refugees, the better, because, obviously, that's what he needs, scapegoats,
right,
for his purposes.
Well, people are saying that, you know, the refugee crisis, as it's described, is going into reverse, that actually there'll be more people leaving the country than there'll be coming in. And so this this sort of wave of people, as has also been described, is going to come to a trickle. And and they were saying, well, you know, and that will rob the Reform Party of its major weaponry. And I don't think that that's true at all. It's the fear of immigration that they sell, not immigration itself. Because they're mostly popular in areas where 99% of the people there are white British.
So you don't think they need any actual factual immigrants at all?
Zero.
They just keep saying they're coming.
Correct.
Yeah, but what if the news doesn't report days pass by and nobody arrives, but then suddenly it's first on the news, 400 people cross the channel, oh
doesn't
God,
matter.
Oh God, oh God.
Doesn't matter.
So even without that, you think he could still scare people with the fear of refugees?
I think Keir Starmer could deport every person who is not born in this country, and it still wouldn't make any difference, because it's the fear that they're selling, not the it of it.
But how can they make them people fearful if they never even see any at all?
Have you ever been fearful of ghosts or things under the bed that aren't there?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, no, I buy it. Yeah. Thank you. That's all I needed to say.
Oh, okay. Yep. Sounds like you said it. Excellent work. Thanks a lot, Rose. Jason says, does the FIFA World Peace Prize... does the FIFA World Peace Prize mean nothing anymore? Tony says, please read this in a Trump accent. The Ayatollah is dead. Long live my Ayatollah. Bomb, baby, bomb the Ayatollah. No, Tony, I most certainly will do nothing of the sort. Shafiq says, I hope some of your listeners who are supporting this illegal war against Iran are prepared for the millions of refugees who are about to enter Europe and the UK. That's going to happen. I mean, unless, peace and harmony breaks out, which seems vanishingly unlikely, it's a possibility, but it doesn't seem likely, does it? Then I would imagine that people will be running away from the bombs and the bullets. I mean, there's so many disparate elements in Iran, as it has been described to us by people who are, from that country on this show already this evening, that, people might just get along, but from your knowledge of what humans are like, do you think that that's a possibility? Or a probability, more accurately? And in that circumstance, if, the whole thing goes up, then, there's going to be a lot of people on the move. A lot. Camden. And you know what? In that circumstance, you'd be on the move too. Camden. Hello, Max.
Gosh, hi there, Nick. I'll be as brief as possible. Just a couple of points. Firstly, name for the attack, the epic...
It's so silly, I've kind of forgotten it. Operation Epic Fury. Operation Epic Fury. How juvenile is that?
Well, it is, but on the other hand, the whole thing is about this situation at the moment. There's a kind of good work and cleverness against all the other ridiculousness of it. And perhaps Epic Fury was aimed at the way that Islam sometimes has these very, to us, sort of epic and filmic phrases. So it was deliberately chosen, perhaps by a kind of rather green think tank in the White House, to make it clear that the American stance is as powerful as the Islamic stance.
Yeah, it sounds to me like something they came up with at the bar. I bet they were rolling on the floor when they came up with that one. Thought, yeah, great, we've got to have some kind of war. Who's it going to be? Got to append this great name to something.
Okay, well, maybe you're right then. So moving on from that one, I think the whole point is that at the moment, it is, as I said just a bit earlier, it is very much there's no right or wrong in this whole situation. It's kind of crazy. And that's what I think makes it really bad. So perhaps you have to sort of think, well, it is what it is. What is it? And I think in this case, as you said earlier on, I've been listening to yourself and cause, it's literally throwing the dice to see what comes up.
Yeah.
Really. So who knows?
I mean, nothing else has worked so far to get even his fans to stop talking about the Epstein files. His popularity is in the toilet. Everything that he's telling the American people, they can see with their own eyes that isn't true. Prices in the shops and the jobs situation and industry isn't coming back and everything is more expensive and et cetera and so on. So, what can he lose? It can only get better for him from this point on. And if this doesn't work, well, there'll be some other bleep hole country that he'll be able to bomb.
Well, I don't think it's a simplistic as that. I think he's you know, there is a reason he's doing these things in his or his office's logic.
Yeah. I don't think logic has got to do with it. I think it's just greed. It's greed for more popularity and it's greed for more money. I mean, if anything, almost everything that he does these days looks like a mafia shakedown.
I agree. Well, maybe it's just, the best word is opportunism in the most ghastly way.
Right.
That where he can see any kind of sort of leverage to get in and to, as you say, for all different reasons of his own needs, make something of it, then he will. But it's a total gamble. Total gamble.
Yeah.
And the only thing you can hope is that at the end of the day, human nature wins. I know we have this kind of rather bleak view of human nature, certainly in people sort of leaders sometimes.
Mm.
But you hope that human nature sometime balances it out. You know, he is in a democracy, in parentheses, in some way. So something might happen there might be an assassination. In other words, you hope that the populace or the human nature just balances it out at the end of the day.
Wow, you dragged us into a dark place there for a moment. An assassination. Well, let's not go into that. But thanks for that, Max. I just think that Operation Epic Fury should be the name of the Trump presidency. It should be on the lectern that he waffles on behind. It seems to be his thing. He should put that on a hat. 0345-6060-973 LBC.
This is LBC.
Tackle that laundry pile with Hot Point washing machines available at AO. Use Fabric Care Tech for a gentler wash and keeping your favourite clothes lasting longer. Plus, we'll deliver and install them when it suits you. Hot Point's trusted appliances from the UK's most trusted electrical retailer. Shop now at AO.com. Comparison with same model without Fabric Care feature. Verify trust at AO.com/trust and hotpoint.co.uk/trustpilot.
Welcome to the Speed Coaster.
With Plusnet, great broadband isn't just about award-winning routers. It's also about speed. Whoa! Before the 25th of March, get full fibre that you can rely on with speeds up to 900 megabits available from $22.99 a month. Ah, that's a plus.
$26.99 from the 31st of March 2027. New customers only. Limited availability. Terms apply.
Wide. This is LBC with Nick Abbott. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
Craig says, why do they always give these military operations such butch names? Why can't they call it something like Operation Fluffy Bunny? Something benign like that. Yes. Well, that would really cause confusion in the mind of the enemy. A certain discordance, yes. I think that's not a bad idea, militarily speaking. This says, Nick, the question was, which one is he going to bomb next? It depends on who calls the shots. They both work in tandem, however, but only one is in control. Both are insulated from the terror and the chaos that ensues, i.e. millions left without shelter. Which other person are you talking about? I understand that you're talking about Trump, but who's the other person? Alex says, I find it unless you're talking about Netanyahu. Alex says, I find it genuinely alarming that Trump is so confident when it comes to these interventions. While it is partly a distraction from you-know-who, it is also due to Trump being high on his own supply following Venezuela, and now I fear it is only a matter of time before his eyes return to Greenland. Yeah, well, I'm sure he hasn't forgotten about Greenland or Iceland or, you know, whatever you call it. They've got no end of stuff in the ground there. They have gold and oil and rare minerals, and they had him at gold. 0345-6060-973. Long Eaton. Hello, Christine.
Hello.
Christine.
Yeah. Donald Trump's name says it all, is the part.
Say what? I missed that.
Oh, sorry. Donald Trump's name says it all. He's a fart.
Right. Okay.
Sorry.
I preferred it when I... when I missed that. Never mind. Press on.
Keir Starmer needs to keep his nose out until we get somewhere close. Admittedly, he can get ground troops and army and air force, etc., ready just in case. But is he inciting a new war?
Well, I think that being ready is part of being in the military, isn't it? I mean, that's part of the job. But you don't think that we should be involved, but you think we should be ready to be involved?
I don't think we should be involved at the moment.
Right.
But I think we should be ready to be involved if it comes to it.
Right, so you think maybe a peacekeeping force rather than a killing force?
Yes.
Right, okay. As part of maybe a larger contingent of UN troops, perhaps?
Maybe, but I think Starmer sticking his nose in at the moment.
No, he's doing the opposite of that. He's making it quite clear that we had nothing to do with it. The UK did not participate in the US-Israeli strikes on Iran, he said.
No, sorry, I've read some stuff online that said he was. So I do apologise.
Well, the stuff that you read online, Christine, you always got to have your wits about you. And the best of luck with that. Thanks a lot. I've got to move on. 0345-6060-973. Sally says, thank goodness you were not around in the 1940s, Nick. We'd all be speaking German. I'm a capitulator. I don't think that my position on this has anything to do with winning the Second World War, Sally. Being as how we were directly involved in that war. Samantha in Liverpool says, the American people have never experienced war in the USA. Does this go some way to explain why they tolerate their country waging wars because they have no first-hand experience of the horrors of war? Well, I think that there's some truth in that. However, they don't appear to be in the mood to tolerate more wars. In fact, that's what Donald Trump insisted when he was asking for their vote, that he said, I will stop all of these forever wars. I'm going to be America first. We're not going to get involved in the Middle East or in any of these wars. And the moment that he appointed himself the manager for life of the Board of Peace, he started a war. I mean, barely the ink had dried from his Sharpie pen on that piece of paper, and he was bombing other countries. 0345-6060-973. Manchester. Mackenzie.
Hello.
How are you going?
I'm all right, yeah. Are you?
Yes, good, thanks. What would you like to say?
I'd like to talk about, a bit closer to home, the Gorton and Denton by-election from Thursday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so Labour Greens won, Hannah Spencer, with a 12% majority, or 4,400 votes.
Mm-hmm.
But 60% of those votes weren't represented, and I think it just shows how important proportional representation is needed.
What do you mean, 60% weren't represented? What does that mean?
So, 40% voted for Hannah Spencer, but 60% of the constituency who voted don't have an MP that actually reflects or aligns with their views.
Right. But only, yes, probably less than that, because only 48% could be bothered to turn out. So we don't really know what their views are at all.
Oh, well, I think that also goes a further point to poor proportional representation, that they aren't engaged in politics because they might not feel that their point will be represented anyway.
Right. Well, that's a pathetic opinion to hold. You just pick the least bad option, for crying out loud. Get out of your homes and go down to the polling booth.
But surely picking the lesser of 2, 3, 4, 5 evils, no matter what it is, isn't a good way to engage in politics. You've got to find someone who aligns with your views, and it shows the disenfranchisement of people who don't feel that
politicians actually represent them.
No, that's an excuse. That's a sad and silly excuse. They had about 7 or 8 candidates to choose from at that election, and less than half of the people who were going to be impacted by that decision could be bothered to take part in making that decision. It's unforgivable. Okay.
Well, okay, you can see that, but are there any advantages of first past the post in this 5, 6, or say 11 party system?
Well, I'm not going to defend the first past the post. I think it's ridiculous. I think that we should be, like most of our competitor countries, run by a coalition.
Yeah, I see that. But with first past the post, obviously, coalitions... I mean, you look at the Labour government, for example, 34% of the vote, 66% of seats, I believe. And coalitions are unlikely, as obviously people vote for Labour, they want a change. What would they vote for next? Reform, Greens? You know, it's the conversation where parties, because they've got such a concentrated vote share, coalitions are becoming more and more unlikely.
I'm not sure that the one necessarily follows from the other. I think to represent more of the people's wishes more of the time, then parties should get together. It just seems ridiculous to me that you can get less than 50% of the vote and yet have 100% of the power.
Well, I completely agree, and that's what proportional representation stands for.
Right.
And with this first-past-the-post system, the next government may be a strong coalition of, like you say, 50% of the vote, 100% of the power, or a coalition of a hung government where it's, again, that traditional right versus left, but now you have multiple voices on either side. I mean, you look at the right wing, for example, now, Advance Britain, Restore Britain, Reform UK, Conservatives, and the left wing still splitting with your party, Liberal Democrats, if you want to call them left wing now, Labour, if you can call them left wing now, and obviously the momentum that the Green Party has. So with all these parties with so many different views, proportional representation would get people out of the doors and know that their vote will be represented.
I'm not sure it will. I don't think people can be bothered. People go through their entire lives and can't be bothered to vote. I think it's an absolute outrage. There should be a financial penalty for not taking part. I mean, if the Australians can do that, why can't we?
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously, you look at the suffragette movement, for example, how women, sacrificed their lives for the right to vote, and now people aren't using that vote.
Right.
The reasons for that, you know, I assume loads of different factors, especially among young people, lack of political education, that's a whole different standpoint. But yeah, people don't turn out, that is a problem. But with the system at the moment, first past the post, which leaves, well, like you say, 60 to 70% of the vote unheard of, you know, you can see why people don't believe that their vote will be reflected anyway.
But it will be reflected if the party wins. So
that is a huge if.
Right. Well, of course it is. But we're going around in a tight circle here, Mackenzie. I think essentially we agree that the system that we have at the moment is not the most beneficial for the nation. You have one government that charges in one direction, and then you have the next one that charges in the opposite direction, which is not a recipe for success in my eyes. There should be more conversations between the parties to fully represent, or to more accurately represent, the wishes of the people of this country. And I think we're in agreement on that. So on that rare note of concord, I am going to leave that there. Thanks for that. Back to your... I guess you can pick that up if you like, but we were talking about what's happening in Iran... And we'll continue to do so after this news update with Tim Daly.
Video emerging from Tehran has been showing people letting off fireworks following the news of the death of Ayatollah Ali Khamenei. President Trump says he was killed on Saturday, even though Iranian officials are continuing to insist he remains in charge of the Islamic Republic. A state of emergency is still in place in Tel Aviv. Warning sirens have been activated numerous times this evening there. And speaking during a meeting of the United Nations Security Council,
The organisation's Secretary General has been issuing warnings about global peace and stability. And in other news, a road has been closed in Dunbarton after a marked police car was involved in a collision with a pedestrian. Police Scotland says they were taken to hospital after it happened on Saturday evening. LBC weather, cloudy skies for much of the country overnight with a band of rain pushing east, becoming increasingly windy as well. We'll see a low of around 3 degrees.
Weekdays from 7 a.m.
This is Taxation Without Representation.
Straight to the point.
You get giddy with all these U-turns.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
Lucky he gets up in the morning, really, isn't it?
Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app. Download it now from your app store. LBC.
Turn up your taste buds with Dolmio Intensify pasta sauces. From mild creamy garlic and black pepper, to bold smoky garlic and sun-dried tomato, and spicy smoked paprika and chili.
Woo-hoo!
Try Dolmio Intensify pasta sauces with serious flavor. Dolmio, yeah.
It's time to scale up that fishmonger business, Anne. With free day-to-day online banking from Virgin Money, you'll be a big fish in no time. Now that's a real catch of the day. Open Virgin Money's M account for business now. UK excludes NI, Channel Islands and Isle of Man. 18 plus fees apply for chaps and international payments. Terms and exclusions apply. Backed by the current account switch service. Virgin Money is a trading name of Clydesdale Bank PLC.
The Philly cheese stack is back at McDonald's and it's still intensely cheesy. Imagine the cheesiest thing ever. Now cover it in cheese. Add 2 beef patties, cheddar cheese sauce, crispy onions and even more cheese. The Philly cheese stack. Did we mention it's cheesy? Available until the 16th of March 2026 from 11 a.m. Fees apply to delivery orders. Price and participation may vary, subject to availability.
With a gift in your will to UNICEF, you'll know that the job of making a better world for every child is in good hands. It'll be the start of an incredible journey, connecting you with a powerful community of people working tirelessly to protect and nurture children so they're empowered to take on the world. To find out more about leaving a gift in your will that never stops working for children, search UNICEF Legacy for a free guide today.
Nick Abbott on LBC. Call 0345 6060
973. Ian says, people die because this clown in the US is unpopular. What kind of world is this? I've always said that the lowest form of life on the planet is humanity. I'm always proved correct, says Ian. Keith in Poland says, the American military campaign in Iran has been titled Epic Fury. Surely it should be Epstein Fury. Adam says, maybe Trump could go to Iran and be their leader. And Joseph says, Trump claims the people are going to take over the government in Iran. Does he honestly believe that this will lead to a stable democratic system? Never has a diverse autocratic country ever just turned into a functioning democracy by itself. Perhaps another Venezuela deal is coming, in which nothing changes but the money that Trump is pocketing. Well, I haven't looked it up, but off the top of my head, Iran has the is in the top 10 countries with the most oil reserves. So, coincidence? Well, Venezuela is number one. That has the more oil underneath Venezuelans than any other country in the world, which probably has something to do with Trump's interest in that country. And Iran is in the top 10. It might actually be in the top 5. Anyway, there's a boatload of money there. And all anybody has to do is just pick it up. As long as you've got the might of the military to protect you while you're doing it. Southsea, Matt.
Hello?
Yes, Matt.
Hi, yeah. Just talking about the Iran issue. I mean, what do you think gives America the right to attack a country that had 28 million people on the streets celebrating the revolution that put their government in power? I mean, whether we agree with their system or not, it's not really for us to decide, surely. And surely we pay at least lip service to UN resolutions, things of that nature. Did we do that? No, they were negotiating as to their what they were going to do with their nuclear, whether they were going to develop nuclear bombs or nuclear energy. And the Iranians that were mediating that discussion said, oh, we're close to a deal here.
We've made progress.
And the Israelis and the Americans attacked them and tried to murder all of their top people at the same time without warning them. Now, if that happened to us, what would you say about the people that did it?
You seem to be upset with me for some reason. I haven't said anything that would cause you to be irate.
No, I'm not upset with you personally. I don't know who you are. I'm upset with America and the Israelis, who are our allies, as a British person.
Mm. It seems curious that we had a deal with Iran to prevent them from continuing with their nuclear program. It was called the
JCPOA, which Trump cancelled,
The Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action. And it was one of the first things that Trump did on accessing the keys to the White House. He ripped that up, I suspect, because it had Barack Obama's signature on it. And now he seems to be wanting to negotiate the exact thing that he tore up then. So
he's not interested in negotiation, is he? He's interested in assassination. And for some reason, we cover it like this is justified.
Well, I don't. Again, you seem to be annoyed at me. I haven't done anything of the sort.
No, I'm talking about the overall coverage that exists here.
Okay.
I'm not talking about you personally.
It does seem odd that Starmer was criticising Iran. He said he condemned, in the strongest terms, Iran's retaliation. As though the appropriate action for being hit in the face is to just leave your arms hanging limply by your side.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not what human beings do, and it's certainly not what autocratic regimes are in the business of doing.
Well, quite so. And whatever we think of the Iranian regime, they do have elections. I mean, Pezeshkian is a reformist. He's not one of these guys that is, you know, IRGC through and through. He wants to make a deal with America, and he always has. So, I mean, it's laughable, really. Clearly, as people have said, the American government are just not people you can negotiate with, because you try and they will just come and blow you up. everyone can see this.
Yes, but certain people get blown up, but other people trying to negotiate with Donald Trump will find that... Hang on a minute. Other people trying to negotiate with Donald Trump will find that they walk away thinking they have an agreement, and they have a piece of paper that has both signatures on it that says they have an agreement, but they don't actually have an agreement because Donald Trump doesn't think that anything he signs restricts himself in any way.
Well, okay, I mean, I don't think this is purely down to Donald Trump. I think this is the way America conducts business at this point. But, you know, we can disagree about that. I mean, 180 young girls died in the primary school in that initial attack. So think everyone can condemn that, right?
Well, I don't... Yeah, well, of course we can. Nobody's suggesting that that's anything other than awful. And I don't know whether the numbers are right. It was an Israeli rocket, apparently, that did that, not Trump. But, you get no argument from me there. All right, thanks a lot, Matt. Zenger in Harsden says, America is doing so much damage to the world, we should not be supporting this illegal, unprovoked and brutal attack. Zach Polanski is correct. I hope Starmer steers clear of this madness. Well, so far he has. As have the French and the Germans. And in a joint statement, the three leaders said, Iran must refrain from indiscriminate military strikes. Well, all sides, surely. He says, we urge the Iranian leadership to seek a negotiated solution. Well, my understanding is that that is exactly what they were doing. He says, ultimately, the Iranian people must be allowed to determine their future. And that is absolutely right. Whether they will be able to, after the regime has been toppled or beheaded, whatever you want to call it, well, we've absolutely no idea. I mean, our experience of toppling autocratic regimes is not a good one, because once you do that and you have no plan for what happens next, the next is usually chaotic. Let's see now. Tooting. Hello, Jan.
Yeah, hi. Good morning, Nick.
Jan.
Yeah, I want to just concentrate on this point about these nuclear... I think everything's being fudged a bit, you know, like Trump does it all the time. But the thing is that it's not been proven that Iran doesn't have nuclear sites. And Trump is using these...
You're saying it's not been proven that they don't?
No, that they don't... That that the enrichment of uranium has stopped.
Right.
They claimed it because apparently reports that I remember seeing at the time of things is that Iran has lots of underground
No doubt,
but for their uranium enrichment.
But I thought that Donald Trump had said that he had obliterated them, that they had these bunker-busting bombs. Well, that's what he said.
No, yeah, that's what he said. Even in his State of the Union address recently, wasn't it? He said that Iran couldn't possess a nuclear weapon, despite that midnight hammer operation had obliterated their nuclear program.
Correct.
But he's using sort of attacking Iran, to save the people, the thousands that have been murdered by the. President but they say he could be alive. But my point is coming back to this thing about Iran's nuclear thing. I mean, look, the West wants to have a handle on the Middle East because it's out of hand, isn't it? They want to make sure they want to have a Western friendly governments in power because China's one of the biggest enemies, biggest threats to the West, these autocratic
Well, do you think we should be in the business of deciding who runs other countries?
No, that's what America wants. That they want to have a handle on the Middle East.
Yeah, well, that's where all the oil is. Well, not all of it, but that's a considerable amount is right there. That's why they have interest in the Middle East. If there was no oil in the Middle East, then none of the misery that the people in the Middle East have suffered would probably ever have happened.
That's true. I mean, look, Trump's taken over Cuba. It's it's oil. But in this case with Iran, he's fudging the issue about, he's ready to kill his own people in America if they're Democrats. You know what I mean? Get them shot by the ice. But in this case, look, the satellite images show that there's still a lot of activity. The current satellite images are picking up that there's a lot of...
That's because Donald Trump tore up the agreement that stopped Iran from doing exactly that, so that they didn't have no impediment after he tore that... But they had an agreement to stop doing it, but Donald Trump tore it up. That's why it's going on.
They're saying that he said recently that Iran is clear and present danger to the U.S., saying it had developed missiles, but he didn't say that they were nuclear missiles. But the thing is that... They can't stop Iran having... They can't stop Middle Eastern countries having nuclear... They can't stop other countries having nuclear weapons. You know, they're not... They're autocratic, aren't they? Like Korea, North Korea. The West can't go in there. They're trying to stop them, but they can't. They can't stop Iran. And they can't... What are they going to do? Put in a Western puppet in Iran to rule Iran.
Tried that already. It didn't work out that great.
But the Ayatollah may still be... They don't know for certain that, you know, the West...
Well, he might not be dead, or he might be dead, and if he's dead, then I'm sure there'll be another one to replace him as soon as possible. I mean, I don't really know what the line of succession looks like in Iran, but, you know, you get rid of one leader, and there'll be a queue of people around the block who want to take their place, I'm sure. All right, thanks a lot, Jan. 0345-6060-973. Reuters reports that the daughter and grandchild of Iran's Ali Khamenei were killed in US-Israeli strikes, so says the state media. Iranian Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei's daughter, grandchild, daughter-in-law and son-in-law were killed in US-Israeli strikes, Iranian state media reported on Sunday, as in now. Iran Supreme Leader Ali Khamenei's daughter, son-in-law and grandchild have been killed in the attacks. The Fars news agency, which is affiliated with the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, has said in a report, quoting informed sources in the Supreme Leader's office. Fars has also reported that it has been said that one of Khamenei's daughters-in-law has been killed in the attacks too. There had been some reports circulating earlier on the death of Khomeini's daughter-in-law and son-in-law, which were later denied. Iranian officials are yet to confirm the death of Iran's supreme leader himself. That's just out. I'm going to take a short break. More of your calls on this, 0345 6060 973.
Coming up at 1 on LBC, Clive Ball.
As President Trump says Iran's supreme leader is dead, do you think the US attacks will lead to regime change? Was that always the plan? And to what extent should the UK be involved?
Clive Ball at 1. Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app.
When you're smiling, when you're smiling, the whole world smiles with you.
Life feels better with a smile. Banning Dental Group Clinics. Modern, comfortable and affordable dentistry for all. See online for our price match promise. Keep on smiling.
Keep on smiling, keep on smiling, and the whole world smiles with you.
Banningdental.co.uk.
If you were missold a home on a holiday park, holidayparkadvicecentre.co.uk could help you receive compensation. Text ADVICE to 78900.
Chase is the digital bank that gives you 1% cash back on groceries.
So can I get cash back on cake mix?
Indeed.
And icing?
Yep.
And sprinkles?
Sure.
And candles?
Yeah, and you can turn all that cash back into a nice birthday treat.
How do you know it's my birthday?
Just a hunch. Get 1% cash back on groceries, fuel and everyday transport when you spend with Chase. Search Chase Bank. 18 plus UK residents. 1% cash back on this debit card spending for your first year. Maximum £15 per month. Eligibility and exceptions apply. May be changed or withdrawn.
Right, who's all in for Cancer Research UK's Race for Life? Sunday Leaguers! Dog lovers! Bait clubbers! Banger dancers, baby ravers, potters. Whether you walk it, jog it, or run it, go all in against cancer. All in to help fund life-saving research.
Sign up to your local 3K, 5K, 10K or Pretty Muddy event from just $14.99. Search Race for Life. Prices vary by event distance and participant age.
This is LBC with Nick Abbott. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
Helen in Lancashire says, I am absolutely gutted that the Green Party, Corbyn and yourself is against this military action. I just can't stop thinking about all those fellow women attacked for not wearing a damn scarf. It's about female freedom for me. I agree with this military action, says Helen. Well, if there was going to, if it was going to release, if it was going to, what's the word? If it was going to result in more freedom for women, then yes, of course that would be a good thing. But will it? Anne says, "Dear Nick, I agree with you. By getting involved in Iran, we're putting our neck on the line, making us extremely vulnerable. I just think we have to resist this urge to be the world police." Michael says, like compulsive, obsequious bootlickers, they think it's great to jump on the tails of the US and the US, in turn, like a fox, gaslight them. That makes no sense. A little. Almost enough to constitute a full thought. Let's try this one. Wayne says, I'm often amused that when they announce the Prime Minister has chaired a COBRA meeting, that chairing a meeting is not a big specialist skill. It's just running a meeting, not a superhuman ability. And Dave says, give us a break, will you? We can't let them have nukes, no matter how much you whinge about Trump grow up. Well, again, it seems I've always been curious about that. I don't think anybody should have nuclear weapons, but who are we to tell other countries that they shouldn't when we have them? Glasgow. Hello, Al.
Hi.
Al.
I think it's ironic that Trump, in his announcement yesterday, refers to allies as friends, having recently threatened Denmark with invading Greenland.
And declared economic war on us.
Yes. Yeah. The other thing is that a while ago, you probably saw it, there was a video from a few senators, admittedly Democratic senators, which you'll hate, but it reminded us recently of that US forces must not obey an illegal order.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how that one plays out eventually.
But that's just a statement of truth. Nobody should obey an illegal order.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's one of the things that these people were saying is hammered into everyone in the military. It's not just something buried away in a small print somewhere. But no, I don't think we should be involved in supporting Trump at all. I mean, I was trying to think of some adjectives, and I was just thinking, well, he's a cruel, vindictive, irrational, psychopathic, double-crossing criminal. So we cannot get involved, you know, with somebody of that stature.
Yes, we shouldn't be seen in the same picture as him.
No, definitely not. Now, the other thing is that even if we were considering sending forces to Iran or just to support his action, why would we do that when we haven't been doing the same for Ukraine? Because I think the thing that worries me as well is getting distracted from the Ukrainian war, which to us, I think, is more...
Well, I think we've already been distracted from the Ukrainian war. You can go weeks without hearing anything about it these days, and the suffering hasn't stopped. But then, you know, there's more suffering elsewhere in the world. Sudan, much of Sudan is starving to death. Millions of people don't have enough to eat or fresh water to drink. And when did you last hear about that?
Yeah, but I mean, I suppose we've got limited resources. I mean, I'm not discounting the suffering elsewhere or the importance elsewhere, but I just think, given that we've got limited bandwidth, we should really stay focused on, you know, the main problem, which I think is Ukraine.
Yes.
But I think also Starmer's being reasonably sensible. I think he's got he's consulting our other allies. You know, he's being cautious. His actions are not to join in, which is the most important thing, and to be fairly bland in his communications. And I think that's the only way he can play it at the moment. I mean, it's easy for opposition politicians to say, we must do this and we must not do that.
Yeah.
But they have the freedom to say that kind of thing.
Right. Yes.
Although, having said that, Zach Polanski, I think, was quite interesting. I think he's got his own podcast, I think, and he had Carol Cadwallader on a few days ago, and they were talking about other threats. I know this is a totally different subject, but it was on the threats of companies rather than countries.
Companies, yeah.
And their main focus was on Palantir, so I think that's a completely different subject.
But well, Carol Cadwallader has much experience in that area, yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's something to deal with before too long.
Well, I think that some multinational corporations present a clear and present danger to all of us, and we have given them the ability to do that by accepting what they give us, which is a small convenience. You know, the phone in your pocket is the greatest spying device that has ever been invented. And we carry it around with us while complaining about the idea of the government issuing ID cards that couldn't possibly have a tiny fraction of the amount of information that we gleefully carry around in our pockets on our phones.
Yeah, and I didn't realise the extent to which some big retailers are now using facial recognition.
Are they?
Yep. So apparently Sainsbury's trialling it.
Right.
Ostensibly because it's to control shoplifting, but really I don't really want to be walking into a shop when I know that
beautiful face is being recorded.
Yeah, I know. But certainly, you know, things like that, Palantir and storing data on the cloud and everything is very worrying.
Yes, these psychotech bros, they are, they're as rich as countries, and they're just as benign as any country is that you can think of off the top of your head, by which I mean not at all.
Oh, yeah. There was another guy who's very interesting is Malcolm Nance. He's an ex-intelligence guy from the States, and he was talking about this. And one of the things about AI models, you know, and the worry the threat that they present as well. He actually just off the top of his head saying, well, maybe we should nationalise them, you know, just take control of big models like that.
Well, if the people who are making artificial intelligence say that the human race has a 25% chance of being obliterated by that AI, then I think they're probably worth paying attention to. But the charge to the pot of money at the end of the AI rainbow is undiminished. I mean, people just can't... Even the richest people in the world, or especially, rather, the richest people in the world, can't conceive of letting anybody else get a penny of that available pot. Yeah, I'm going to have to go out, but thanks for that. Let's see. I think it might be our final call. Aylesford. Hello, Tony.
Hello, Nick.
Tony.
Oh, my goodness. That was like torture. I've been waiting 3 hours, but okay.
Yes.
Right, well, I want to talk about Brit Awards.
Well, see, now, you were waiting 3 hours because it didn't really have anything to do with what we were talking about, but...
Well, you've not heard me out here.
All right.
Watch it when you get back. I watched it earlier on. Lisa Nandy, Andy Burnham were filmed together at the Brit Awards tonight.
Right.
And I complained to you last year, exactly this time last year, and said, oh, God, I'm going to boycott it, because unless you or Ricky Gervais would host it, yeah.
Who hosted it? Who hosted it this year?
What's his name? It's the comedian. But it's changed. It's gone to the new Co-op Arena in Manchester. I think Manchester is the new London. And
Manchester is the new London. No, Manchester is the new Manchester. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I know. I've not been there for a while. I need to go to Canal Street soon. But
who won?
Andy was with Andy Burnham, and I thought that was quite interesting. And with what's going on with Trump and stuff, I thought it was quite... I watched it because it used to be quite really good, because you got the international stars.
The Brit Awards? I'm not sure. Is that a serious thing? I mean,
why was there a picture of Lisa Nandy with the host and Andy Burnham?
Yeah, I've got no idea.
I think that says something.
So who won?
Yeah. Don't ask me, because it's full of
you just watched it and you've got no idea who won.
I didn't watch it. I missed the last half an hour because I've been waiting since 10 o'clock to speak to you about it. But Lisa Nandy is my favourite MP. I think this is very interesting. I think it's been a very significant day.
Right.
And with what Trump's doing, I think it's the end of Trump. I think it's the end of Trump.
Mm-hmm.
I think what he's doing in Dubai, thank God. I think this will be a good thing. And, you know, the World Cup's going to be held in America. And I'm going to talk about football refereeing now.
I'm afraid that you've run out of time, Tony. If you wanted to talk about football refereeing, then you should have stuck that in at the start, not at the end. Sadly... And I do apologise for keeping you waiting for 3 hours to have said that. And we're still not any clearer as to who won the Brit Awards. Not that I could care less one way or the other. Now, if you missed any of this show, then it's going to be available as a podcast. You can listen back on Global Player or the LBC app, where you can also stay up to date with the latest news, videos and opinions. If you don't have it, they are both free. The LBC app and Global Player, free from your app store now. I'll be back tonight with my Abnormal Normal show. At 4, it's James Hansen. But first, here's Clive Ball.
Thanks very much, Nick. And coming up, as President Trump says, Iran's supreme leader is dead. Well, we assume that's right, but you can never tell with what Trump says. What do you think is the likely outcome of these attacks on Iran? Do you think that the US attacks will lead to regime change? And was that always the plan? Keir Starmer said in a statement earlier on that British planes were in the sky in the Middle East as part of a defensive operation to protect our people, our interests and our allies. Do you think that this is a defensive action? And to what extent do you think the UK should be involved? We'll bring you the latest developments. We'll have a chat with some experts. But most of all, I want your take on this. 0345 6060 973.
On your radio, on the LBC app and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 1 o'clock.
video emerging from Tehran has been showing people letting off fireworks following the news of the death of Ayatollah Ali Khamenei. President Trump has been saying he was killed on Saturday, even though Iranian officials continue to insist he remains in charge of the Islamic Republic. Simon Marks is LBC's Washington correspondent.
The president says that the supreme leader was unable to avoid our intelligence and highly sophisticated tracking systems, and working closely with Israel, there was not a thing he or the other leaders that have been killed along with him could do. President Trump is describing this now as the single greatest chance for the Iranian people to take back their country.
Iran's ambassador to the United Nations has told a meeting of its Security Council hundreds of people have died since airstrikes began on Saturday morning. Amir Saeed Iravani has also declared his country had a right to defend itself.
Some members of this body, in a blatant double standard, disregarded the flagrant act of aggression committed by the U.S. and Israel on Iran and condemn Iran for using its inherent right to self-defense on the UN Charter.
In the last half hour, state media has been reporting another large explosion has been heard in Tehran. It's also saying the daughter and the granddaughter of the supreme leader have been killed. Again, though, it has not addressed those claims Ayatollah Ali Khamenei is dead. The former Conservative Defence Minister, Tobias Elwood, has been talking to LBC. He believes the UK could help when it comes to Iran's apparent power vacuum.
Sitting above all that is the Republican Guard. And you're going to get a dictator coming in unless Britain steps forward with other nations to persuade Donald Trump